the 6 o'clock hour. Take your time and drive safe and bundle up out there. This is AM 920 WGNU.
Single female, in search of companionship, male or female, must be willing to give and receive unconditional love. Must be affectionate, playful, cuddly, willing to be by my side through good times and bad, not run away when they see what I look like in the morning. Must be willing to cheer me up after a rough day, likes to go for long walks or runs, want to sit by my side while I watch a movie that makes me cry. A companion that will be there when I get home and be excited to see me when I walk in the door. A companion that won't judge me or take me for granted. I know you're out there. I just wish dogs could read.
To find the companion of your dreams, go to www.strayrescue.org to find out about weekly adoption events, volunteer opportunities like foster parenting, dog walking, fundraising, and more. Stray Rescue of St. Louis is a non-for-profit organization operating 2 no-kill shelters in the St. Louis area. For more information, call 314-771-6121 or go to www.strayrescue.org.
At the karaoke bar, Greg shows the telltale signs of being wasted. First off, he's in a karaoke bar. Next, he tells the waitress she can be his backup singer. Greg asks his buddy if he met his backup singer. He takes another shot and realizes he's not sitting with his buddy. Then he spends an hour searching for the perfect song in the food menu. On stage, he can't read the lyrics on the monitor. He explains to everyone that he can't read gobbledygook. Greg decides to freestyle rap. He keeps repeating the line, "I don't read no gobbledygook, boy." The power is cut, and Greg offers to sign autographs out back.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive, but what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Another flu season is rapidly approaching. Are you and your family prepared? While some cases of the flu can be mild, each year more than 200,000 persons are hospitalized and 36,000 die from complications from influenza. However, there are several things you can do to help yourself and your loved ones stay well. America's Visiting Nurses have 3 critical tips to keep the flu out of your home. They are: get vaccinated against influenza whenever vaccine becomes available. Always wash your hands vigorously with soap and hot water. And last but not least, regularly disinfect kitchen, bathroom, and other household surfaces where germs and bacteria thrive. By utilizing these tactics, you stand a better chance of staying healthy this winter. For more information, contact your local visiting nurses or visit vnaa.org. This message is brought to you by the Visiting Nurse Associations of America and your local visiting nurses.
Total Alarm Company, this is Todd.
Yeah, hi. Can you guys handle pretty big jobs?
How big are we talking?
Well, super-duper big, Todd.
Yeah, this is my dad's business. I just work here summers.
Well, he is going to be so proud of you. You are about to lock in a deal to install a smoke alarm system in every single forest in America.
Cool. Like, the buildings there? The ranger places?
No, the forest.
I don't understand.
Well, we are a group of concerned citizens, and we want to install alarm systems in the forest to alert the animals. You guys probably see the effects of people's lack of respect for fire all the time, right?
Yeah. Dad?
Yeah?
This is Claude. What can I do for you?
Can you install a smoke alarm system in every forest in America?
This is a joke.
No, we just want to combat people's bad behavior and warn the animals when there's a fire.
Only you can prevent wildfires. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, the Ad Council, and this station.
At the holiday party, Chris shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He decides to make a funny holiday card. Sitting on the copying machine, Chris laughs hysterically. He writes, "Happy Holidays from Stinky the Elf."
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive, but what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Brown is out this morning for the hour. We're going to play the best of right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace.
Talk about 454-0400 is my phone number. I'm looking at this. Let me get to this. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, you're talking about the Vioxx. Did you hear the latest that they were doing additional studies because they think it is possible that it could stop your heart from becoming enlarged or whatever? Of course, this study was done on mice so far. But they're going to push that drug, you know that. They're going to push it. And I know you're probably in the bed by the time ER comes on, but ER was kind of like that last night.
Uh-huh.
It was about these drugs that they're testing and that the FDA haven't released yet and doctors are still giving it out.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
And when you add to the mix the fact that Vioxx was the most heavily promoted drug in the history of all drugs, it is no coincidence that people have died. I mean, people would not have died if they had not been allowed to advertise on television like they were able to do.
Well, that must be why they came out with this new finding about the enlarged heart. They're trying to
find a new way to dump that drug.
Right.
All right.
A new way to market it.
All right now.
Yep.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
This is Liz Brown.
Yes.
I was calling you that some people have psychic power, spiritual power, where you can heal the sick, and like Jesus did, and they got new magazines out here from black women about black women, and these famous people use these stuff like this witchcraft, psychic powers, and they got knowledge of this out there in the open. But you can study and practice witchcraft, and you can gain power out here.
Okay.
I didn't want a lot of this to get out, but like, if I met you somewhere, I can tell you how these people use these powers with them.
All right, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone. I didn't want this to get out, so I called her talk radio show. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Condoleezza Rice received confirmation. And it was coming out of one of the most extensive, one of the most substantive Senate debate over the war in Iraq since the fall of 2002. And think about that for a second. Think about that. That the most extensive, the most substantive discussion about this war in Iraq since 2002 was at the confirmation hearing of Condoleezza Rice. How does that make you feel about your legislators? That you all haven't had an opportunity to discuss this. You didn't feel the need to discuss this. Robert Byrd, former Klansman and the West Virginia Democrat, Senator Byrd, who was one of the most vocal opponents of the war, said that Condoleezza Rice simply did not deserve to be promoted. I cannot support higher responsibilities for those who help set our great nation down the path of increasing isolation and a war that has no end. Oh, when, his voice quivering, he said, oh, when will our boys come home, boys and girls? But then we have on the other side of the aisle, this is the thing that just is galling to me. It's just galling. Senator Dianne Feinstein of California warmly embraced Rice. Senator Joseph Lieberman praised, there's a reason why Joe Lieberman was not the vice president of the United States and Al Gore was not the president. This is what Joe Lieberman said about Condoleezza Rice. The world knows that she is highly qualified and that she has the president's trust and confidence. Now, this is the dude that beat you, that cheated to beat you. And you don't have any attitude about that? George Bush cheated to beat you. And you're out here telling the American public that Condoleezza Rice is highly qualified and should be in this position. Senator Jack Reed, a Democrat of Rhode Island, criticized her. In October 2003, Mr. Reed said, Mr. Bush announced the formation of the Iraqi Stabilization Group because it was obvious that the present policy was not working, and Dr. Rice was named to head that group. Well, there has been no product of this committee, no impact on policy, a void in terms of what it has done. This raises serious questions in my mind. Senator Carl Levin said, if you vote to confirm Rice would be a, quote, a stamp of approval for her participation in the distortions and exaggerations of intelligence that the administration used to in its prelude to war. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you just beautiful today?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I'm sitting here not reading the paper. Either I'm think too deep or something wrong with me. Bank fell by suit in Nashville, Tennessee. Bank One, Bank America, and U.S. Bassacop or whatever. They rates on black people in that town on automobiles is higher than on white people, which is not only in Tennessee. It's all over the world, probably, I imagine. And I look at this. Any black man in Iraq fighting the war that lives in Nashville, Tennessee, if he come home, he going to have to pay a high interest rate. He's been paying high interest rates on automobiles than the white man. It's something that I can't see. I just can't understand blacks even participating in a war that this country, you know, call them to come serve.
That's why I'm so excited about this.
Either they don't read like me, or they trying to fit in or something wrong here.
Oh, I think that there are some people who just feel that they have no choices in terms of where they can get a job.
Whether they can get a job.
No, where they
where
can
they
get a
job.
Yes, there are some people that truly have to face it. And nobody planned on going into Iraq. Very few people planned on going
well,
into Iraq.
Well, I look at the military this way, which I wouldn't walk across the street to even join one.
You're listening to a Best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around for more of the Best of the Wake-Up Call. This is AM 920. morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Centrum. Metrolink is closed due to inclement weather. There is no word on an estimated reopening time. Serious weather, winter weather has forced numerous road closures, power outages, and fallen tree limbs. So just use caution and give yourself plenty of time on the roadways. Northbound 55 at 141, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 at 141 and 270, look for normal traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for no delays this hour. Westbound 270 at 367, 170 looks good. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move. Northbound 55 at 270 is on the move. Eastbound 70 at 79 is looking like traffic starting to build there. Westbound 55, 70 onto the bridge. It looks good, but it is a slow go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is a slow go into downtown. Page at Hanley, traffic lights aren't working. Ladue is closed between Warson and Dealman. And North Price at Buckhammon is closed as well. And South Warson at Twin Springs Lane is closed. Conway is closed between Warson and Lindbergh. And also Cleed Station at Manchester, those lights are not working. There are a number of school closures going on, so just check the local area TV listings, and we'll try to keep you up to date as we come on to those. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Winter storm advisory is in effect until noon. Otherwise, windy areas of snow early this morning, along with some blowing and drifting snow, additional accumulations of around an inch to give a total ice, snow, and sleet accumulations of 1 to 4 inches, depending upon where you're at. The highs will be in the upper 20s. This evening, colder, partly cloudy, low around 10. And for Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. Currently, we have 23 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 27. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 15. Liz Brown is not in the studio this morning. She's having some difficulties with her power as well. So until then, we'll bring you some more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the wake-up call with my friend Liz Brown.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920, WGNU's global news updates, weekday mornings, 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Hello, this is Pastor Ariel Williams of the Oil of God Ministries, located at 4300 Gaino, right here in St. Louis, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 6:30 to start your weekend with something old and something new. We bring you a mixture of old school gospel plus the latest sounds, as well as church calendar news and a word from God to help you be empowered and victorious in Christ. Every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Liz Brown is not in the studio. She's having some difficulties trying to get into work herself, so stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake-Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I want to ask you a two-part question concerning the law. The first part of the question, first part, is do the courts recognize the legitimacy of citizens' arrests? And the second part is that if they do, are public officials immune from citizens' arrests?
I don't know that I've ever seen a case where a citizen attempted to make a citizen's arrest and it was validated or supported by the courts. I don't know. I personally have not seen that.
It isn't a rule of law, then, is it?
No, not that you have an automatic right to that. At least I'm not aware of it in this jurisdiction or any other.
Oh, okay. Because I know that there are people like Kissinger and Ariel Sharon are wanted by the world courts, and there are people around the world saying, well, why doesn't the citizen arrest them and present them to the
citizens court? Where? Arrest?
Around the world.
Well, I don't know what the law is around the world either. In terms of what would happen if he goes to Denmark. I know that there are some countries that he does not travel to out of concern of being issued a subpoena for this world court. But I don't know. I do not know as it pertains to whether or not there are laws in other countries that would grant individual citizens the right to, upon seeing somebody, engage in a citizen's arrest. I don't know.
Well, then the public doesn't have any recourse as they do in parliamentary governed countries in which they can recall a public official by vote. But impeachment is the only process that the public has in order to get someone out of office. Is that true?
No, we have recall. I mean, ask Arnold Schwarzenegger how he got into office.
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California.
Oh, right. You're absolutely right.
Right. No, we have the ability to recall.
Yes. Okay, well, then I often thought about citizens' arrest and if I could walk up to somebody and arrest them.
Okay.
I'd get in trouble.
All right. Thanks, Dimitri.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Those of you that have some free time on your hands that and have access to the to cable or to Dish, you really need to check out these press conferences with the White House press spokesman Scott McClellan. They are quite amusing and quite interesting. Listen to this exchange. Scott, this is a question that is asked because there are daily press briefings, and this is the guy that is there to speak on behalf of this administration. Here's the question that's asked of him. Scott, on the Middle East, many evangelical Christians in the United States are supporting right-wing Jews in Israel who want to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They, evangelical Christians, believe that this is a prerequisite for Christ's return to earth. They believe that when Christ returns to earth, they call this the rapture, he will take back with him the true believers, and the rest, the non-believers, Jews, Muslims, will be left behind to face a violent death here on earth. My question is, as a born-again Christian, does the president support the efforts to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount? Fair question, isn't it? Isn't that a fair question to ask? What is the White House spokesman's response to this? Russ, we can sit here and talk about religious issues, and I'll be glad to take your question. And if there is more, I will get back to you on that. Huh? And then the reporter asks, is he a born-again Christian? And Scott McClellan says, thank you. And then he abruptly ends the press briefing, and he walks out. It's a fair question, isn't it? And that's the challenge that we have to religion dictating our politics. Whether you have a religious agenda, whether it is you have a financial agenda, those are not the people that should be governing, that should be determining policy that govern us. And look at who is put out there to answer the questions. One question that was asked of Scott, earlier this year, General William Boykin said that George Bush was not elected by a majority of the voters in the United States. He was appointed by God. Question, does the president believe that God played any role in getting him into the White House? These are serious questions that are asked of the White House spokespersons. And what do? They turn around and they walk out. We have much to talk about, folks. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You can always email me at lizbrown.com. LIZZBROWN at SBCGlobal.net. Get to me. So I am hoping that
time will. You're listening to the best of the wake up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Pastor Hankerson, pastor of the Life Center International Church. Starting on Sunday morning, December 3rd, you can hear the Life Center International Church broadcast at 8:15 right here on AM 920 WGNU. That's right, starting Sunday, December the 3rd, you need to listen to the Life Center International Church broadcast 8:15 every Sunday morning.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is not in the studio at this hour. She is having some difficulties with her electricity as well. But until then, we'll bring you more of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And in the next hour, you won't want to miss the discussion that we are going to be having. Ladies, this is all about your cosmetics, the chemicals that are in your cosmetics. It'll make you want to wash your face because of some of the chemicals, the carcinogenic chemicals that are in a lot of the makeup stuff that we wear. So you don't want to miss next hour when I talk to Brainy Schwann, founder of Women's Voices for the Earth. And our topic will be how Europe has forced the United States cosmetic makers to remove toxic chemicals from some of their products. That's in the next hour. You don't want to miss that. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, how you doing there, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I'm hanging in there. I was listening to what you said about religion and the politics, you know, and I was watching that McMuller report, you know, after the election, you know, a couple months ago. And this guy, he was like the liberal. He was saying that a lot of the people who voted for George Bush, they voted for him because of moral reasons, and he was saying like they have the same issues like health care and jobs, but they bypassed all of that for that religious fundamental belief that the Democratic Party is immoral and the Republican Party is not. What he was saying is really a bunch of baloney, you know. Don't you agree with that?
Well, I don't know that those would be my word choices, but when you look at evaluating the morality of an individual, you really have to look at it, or you really should look at it holistically. What does the individual do in a range of different circumstances and under a range of different conditions? When you evaluate this administration from a moral perspective, we can ask the question of how does this administration respond to our soldiers being killed over in Iraq? How does this administration respond to the needs of all of their constituents? How does this administration respond in terms of making certain that the citizens appreciate the fact that we are at war? And when you evaluate the administration in those three ways, let's say, for example, during the vice presidential debates, when Vice President Cheney was asked about, did he know about the numbers of women of African descent that have AIDS in this country, and his response was, no, I didn't know that it was that bad. And then there was no follow-up to that in terms of, you know, that's something that we need to be concerned about. That's something that we need to put more money into. There was no question about that. But there was a articulation that we need to put more money into the military. When you evaluate morality, you have to ask the question of what are the priorities of that individual. Also, you have to look at the fact that this is an administration that thought that it made sense and thought that it was moral to spend $40 million for a party with homeless people, with people with no health care, with our soldiers, even if we're just going to focus on our soldiers, with our soldiers coming back from the war with no housing. $40 million spent on a party, I can't believe, and I'm not a biblical scholar, but I cannot believe that that is something that Jesus would do.
Mm-hmm.
Given the needs that we have. So to hear that this election was about morality, then it really wasn't much of a say about morality, because morality only won by 51%. So if that's the case, morality didn't do all that well.
Yeah, because he was saying, like, you know, like Oklahoma, they all went to Bush, those states like that, because at one time he was saying that those were very democratic states at one time.
Oklahoma, you know, was a democratic state?
Yeah, you know, like back in, you know, the 60s and so forth, you know, in the early 70s, you know.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, Johnson and them won Oklahoma, you know, the Democrats would win states like that. They had democratic senators from those states like that.
There's a difference between saying a state is Republican or Democrat or that a presidential candidate won a particular race. So again, there are maps out there that also show that this whole red and blue state thing is really not an accurate statement, because there are huge rivers of red that run through some blue states and vice versa.
Yeah.
So there's no, when in America are we that clear?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You know, so, but again, if this was if this race was about morality, then morality didn't win out. Because morality really should have won by more than 3 percentage points.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. Thanks,
okay, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And here's something I want to put out there to you all. Next Friday, I'm going to be doing something very, very special. I'm going to be having a live studio, live audience participation. We're going to be talking about whether or not there should be an independent country in Africa for people of African descent from America. And there's a group that has decided to pursue this. And they're going to be joining us. It's a coalition that's going to be joining us on the wake-up call as we kick off Black History Month with a live studio or audience, live audience participation discussion on Friday from 7 to 9. Come on down to the ballroom at 265 Union and join us. It's going to be a pretty remarkable discussion. We're going to have discussions with people from all across the country on this, and it's something that you might want to think about. And also, if you are a teacher out there, if you have students out there for Black History Month, this might be something very interesting to bring your students to on Friday morning. Again, we're going to be down in the ballroom. You can sit there. You can watch the live broadcast. We'll have coffee and donuts. It's something that you really might want to bring your kids to as part of Black History Month, to participate in this discussion. Should there be a country in Africa just for people of African descent from America, our own African American, if you will, nation in Africa? Isn't that an intriguing thought? And how does that work with the issue of reparations? That's going to be our discussion as we kick off Black History Month on the wake-up call next Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the ballroom of 265 Union. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. Bring your folks down and have some coffee and donuts with us. Stay for a while. Stay for half an hour. Stay for an hour. Stay for a while. It's going to be fascinating. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is not in the studio. She should be in maybe later. I don't know. It all depends on if she gets her power. But up next, we got more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
That time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
At the holiday party, Chris shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He tells his boss the one about the salesman and the talking bar stool. Laughing, he excuses himself to hit the head. He decides a plant will do just fine. Chris misses the plant. Finished, he raids the company fridge and eats 27 deviled eggs while drinking the special punch nicknamed Rocket Fuel. He makes out with Kathy from accounting. He decides to make a funny holiday card. Sitting on the copying machine, Chris laughs hysterically. He writes, "Happy Holidays from Stinky the Elf." He then yells, "Office parties are for losers." It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Another flu season is rapidly approaching. Are you and your family prepared? While some cases of the flu can be mild, each year more than 200,000 persons are hospitalized and 36,000 die from complications from influenza. However, there are several things you can do to help yourself and your loved ones stay well. America's visiting nurses have three critical tips to keep the flu out of your home. They are: get vaccinated against influenza whenever vaccine becomes available. Always wash your hands vigorously with soap and hot water. And last but not least, regularly disinfect kitchen, bathroom, and other household surfaces where germs and bacteria thrive. By utilizing these tactics, you stand a better chance of staying healthy this winter. For more information, contact your local visiting nurses or visit vnaa.org. This message is brought to you by the Visiting Nurse Associations of America and your local visiting nurses.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. We
yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger, and that is thundersnow, and they're waking up to it today in Chicago, the windy city in the middle of a major winter storm. Reporter Chris Pilsick is braving the roads of Edwardsville, Missouri, not too far from St. Louis.
I expect a lot of people to stay home today because the traffic conditions will be so bad. The snow hasn't been plowed off the streets. 300,000 are without power because icicles are hanging from lines, bringing down power lines. I see numerous trees down and a lot of lights out around St. Louis area.
Back to Chicago for a moment, ABC meteorologist Sam Champion.
We just hit an awful lot of thunder up here, too, and a little bit of lightning as well in Chicagoland. Now, that lets us know this storm is still strengthening. It's a little unusual in a winter storm to get that kind of power involved to get thunder and lightning, but we've got it, and we're going back and forth between snow here in the city over to freezing rain and sleet. It looks like snow is currently right now the big player, but there's a lot of snow outside of this area as well.
Hundreds of flights are canceled. A FedEx plane slid off the runway at O'Hare Airport. It's World AIDS Day. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan spoke at a ceremony to mark the event early today in New York.
In 25 years since the first case was reported, AIDS has changed the world. It has killed 25 million people.
And there is still no cure. President Bush is back from the Middle East, but Iraq is still very much his focus. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Now that President Bush is back from consulting the Iraqi president, he must make his own choices on the way forward in Iraq. There's an internal White House review and one at the Pentagon as well. The White House says the president will read the Iraq Study Group report due out next week. But President Bush himself cautions, do not expect a graceful exit of U.S. troops from Iraq yet. Ann Compton, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
First, and that means most of us will start our Christmas shopping today. After all, the clock is ticking. ABC's Sherry Preston says you probably have at least someone who wants electronics on your gift list.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
And while you're at it, Santa, could you include an MP3 player with those teeth? Karen Chupka with the Consumer Electronics Association said that's what most people want for Christmas this year, along with DVD players and digital cameras. Well, that's what people want if they're being nice. What they really want, she says, are new TVs.
We see that people kind of want LCDs, but we think that they're trying to be kind and not ask for very high-priced items this year.
Go ahead. Ask Santa. All I can say is no, no, no. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
A third of Canadians say they wear protection while they're having sex with their feet. I think I gave this one away. A study by a sock company north of the border says 31% admit to wearing socks. Just over half say they never would, and almost three-quarters say socks just aren't sexy. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, thousands of area residents are riding out the severe winter weather without electricity. Ameren UE reports that more than 140,000 St. Louis area customers are without power. The outages are spread throughout the area, with particularly high numbers of outages in Florissant, Blackjack, and Imperial. The morning rush hour may be a long and dangerous one today. The ongoing winter weather left area roads slick and sloppy, causing numerous accidents overnight. Call 800-222-6400 for information on the road conditions in Missouri and 800-452-4368 for the road conditions in Illinois. Autopsy results are expected to be released today for three members of a Lime family. Relatives found the bodies of 76-year-old Norma Manilakis, 56-year-old Nedra Flippo, and 59-year-old Michael Polite Wednesday in their basement in the 200 block of Runyon. The victims were the grandmother, mother, and uncle of 38-year-old Anthony Lynn. Police believe Lynn killed them before he was shot by officers in a standoff at the home Monday morning. Finally this hour, a Christian organization is hoping that World AIDS Day will create more public involvement. Compassion International is a Christian child development organization designed to release children from poverty. AIDS Initiative Director Dr. Scott Todd says it's critical that others respond to the needs of these children.
The situation that we're facing in the world today is a crisis. Every day, 14,000 new infections are taking place. Every day, 2,000 babies are being born into the world with HIV, and that's preventable. Last year, over 500,000 children died due to AIDS.
More information about sponsoring a child is available online at compassion.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. The official Cardinals Championship Season DVD is here just in time for the holidays. So run to McDonald's and get the gift every Cardinals fan wants, beginning December 6th, only at McDonald's. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sudafed PE. Metrolink is very limited use due to inclement weather. There's a single shuttle running from Forest Park to Laclede's Landing. No word on the rest of the reopening time. Serious winter weather has caused numerous road closures, power outages, and tree limbs fallen. Please allow plenty of time and extra caution while on the roadways. 70 is closed in both directions from Saline County through Columbia and the northbound 270 from 55 through Teson Ferry. There's an accident left lane's block. Route 370 on the eastbound 70. Look for a disabled vehicle on the ramp. Westbound 70 at Zumbel, or after Zumbel, there's an overturned vehicle blocking a right lane. Broadway is closed, I-70 is closed between Del Mar and Page for road construction. Northbound traffic is slowing near Forest Park Parkway. Eastbound 40 at Boone's Bridge and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40, or westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker through Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain through Lindbergh, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at 55 and Doherty Ferry, expect slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 is slow between Butler and 270. Eastbound 70 from Lake St. Louis all the way into the Mid Rivers Mall. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through Laclede Station and then again from Van Deventer through Compton. Look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 40 from 14th through Grand. Look for very slow traffic. Southbound 55 at Poplar Street Bridge and 44. Expect stop and go. Northbound 55 from Loughborough to Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop and go. Westbound 44 at 55 in the River de Pere. Look for slow traffic. And northbound 170 from Page to St. Charles Rock Road is slow. Northbound 170 from 70 through 270, look for slow traffic. Southbound 170 at 270 in Lackland, it is slow. It's basically a slow go all the way over, including into downtown at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sudafed PE. Sinus misery, get Sudafed PE. The medicine in Sudafed PE is clinically shown to relieve nasal congestion in minutes. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, winter storm warning is in effect until noon today. Otherwise, windy areas of light snow this morning, along with some blowing snow and drifting snow. Additional accumulations of around an inch, with a total snow, ice, and sleet accumulation of 1 to 4 inches is expected. The high will be in the upper 20s for this evening. Look forward to colder, partly cloudy, low around 10 for Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s, and Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. Currently, we have 22 degrees here at AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 26. Wind chill makes you feel like it's 15. Liz Brown is not in today. We're bringing you the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll have more traffic and weather information at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Liz Brown is not in the studio. Instead, we'll bring you the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mondays at 9. My guest this morning is Robert Greenwald. He's a nationally known filmmaker, a producer, a director, a Emmy Award-winning, amazing person. And also, most recently, the director of Outfoxed. And he's joining us from Los Angeles to talk about his documentary. Robert Greenwald, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Robert, the subtitle of your movie, Outfoxed, is Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. That's really the story here, isn't it? Isn't that the real story?
Absolutely. The real story is what Fox News and Murdoch have done to journalism in this country, and hopefully not around the world yet, but certainly in this country, where they've turned journalism into opinion, and it's a consistent right-wing Republican opinion, and that's all you get on that station. They call it news, but it's not. It should be called the Republican Opinion Station.
And let's talk about Rupert Murdoch, because if it wasn't for those right-wing Republicans, Rupert Murdoch wouldn't even be able to own a station in the United States.
That's exactly right. And, you know, many people forget, I'm glad you brought that up, many people forget that the airwaves belong to the public. Private companies have been given the rights to use the airwaves. But they are our airwaves, and Murdoch, through his intelligent use of his money and his connections and his resources, has unfortunately gotten too many of the Washington politicians on his side to allow him to change rules, to own media in all areas, and most egregiously, Fox News.
And because he is foreign-born, there was a law in place prior to Newt Gingrich that you couldn't own our television media.
Yes, that's correct. Murdoch's publishing company gave a $2.5 million book contract to Newt Gingrich. Of course, there was no connection to changing the laws with that contract. They all claim.
But shortly thereafter.
Shortly thereafter, the laws were changed. And I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist in this, you know, that lots of this is legal, some of it is in the gray area, but it is, you know, it becomes our jobs, and I think there's a lot that we can do effectively to resist these people in a variety of ways.
And in terms of Rupert Murdoch, let's talk about who he is, what he owns, and just so that our listeners can feel the impact of this one individual, because that's how your documentary starts out.
Right. Well, Mr. Murdoch, for the listeners who aren't aware of it, is an Australian-born media magnate, I think he calls himself. And he owns newspaper, cable, dish television, TV stations, book companies, magazines all around the world. Something like, I think I can't remember the statistic in the beginning of the film, but something like a quarter of the world's population will be able to get some of his media. And what, you know, what large companies do, and this one is run by a very smart individual, is they buy up more and more of the media that's available. So you wake up in the morning, you turn on the radio, it could be Murdoch News. You get in your car, you hear more radio, it could be his. You pick up the newspaper, it could be his. You know, it just, it kind of goes on and on. There are alternative sources, and again, I don't want to totally depress everybody because I think there is lots that we can do, but Murdoch is a committed right-wing Republican. Every one of his newspapers around the world supported the war in Iraq, and he's quite outrageous and open in the fact that his news sources are opinion sources dedicated to supporting what he believes is correct, which is a right-wing Republican agenda.
So we have a newspaper, television station, radio station, magazine-owning individual with a specific political agenda and the desire to use all of those media entities to further his agenda.
That's exactly right. When I started on the film about Fox News, which, by the way, just so your listeners know, if they go to fox.org, they can buy it, you know, or they can get it from Amazon. When I started the film, I thought I would find conservative bias. But what I found in Fox News is exactly what you say. I found right-wing bias. I found right-wing Republican bias. And that's quite different, and I found it over and over and over again.
Now, you've seen a lot of things. You've made a lot of movies. You've done a lot of documentaries all across the board on different types of issues. You know a lot. Was there anything in the making of Outfoxed that surprised you that you didn't know, besides what you just said?
Well, I think I didn't know the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week pounding. You know, we may turn on a news show for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a half hour. But in and I didn't watch it all. I had these 10 wonderful volunteers around the country who were watching it. Between them, we divided up the time so they were watching Fox News, or maybe we were watching 16, 18 hours a day. What was kind of shocking to me, and I'm from New York, so it takes a lot to shock me, frankly, was the consistent pounding over and over again. They would pound. I mean, this is a so-called news organization. They would pound John Kerry over and over and over again. And every time they would see, you'd see George Bush, it was like he was a, you know, an angel descended on us. And it was just relentless. You watch this stuff long enough, you know, you either begin to lose your mind or you question your sanity.
I worried about your volunteers, truth be told.
Yeah.
I worried about what they had to go through. And it was, that was one of the fun parts of the movie, when you heard them over talking over the speakerphone, when each one would say what they had to watch and the groans that would come from the other ones. I'm so sorry.
Well, thank you. But these wonderful volunteers, by the way, have continued. They've started a blog called News Hounds. We watch Fox News so you don't have to. So that, you know, they send out information so those of us can keep our sanity by not watching it. But, you know, again, having said that, I hope the listeners will go to outfox.org or Amazon, get a copy of it or the local video store. And then there are lots of actions you can do. You know, I think one of the dangers is that sometimes we so demonize the other side that it creates a kind of helplessness. But what, you know, what I've experienced in this last year with the film, which has gotten, you know, phenomenal media attention, is that people are ready to do something, and they can, you know, they can pick up the phone, they can call a local station, they can call an advertiser, they can do some steps so that they're not helpless or passive in the face of this propaganda.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the film Outfoxed was all of the attention to detail that you went through to make certain that you were accurate about what you were saying. Talk to us about the three different areas that you wanted to make certain were covered in the making of this film.
Well, I wanted to make sure that, unlike Fox News, we didn't come to our conclusions based on opinion. So what we did was, as you said, we had these wonderful volunteers around the country monitoring Fox News, because ultimately the evidence is in the clips themselves, and the film is filled with both painful and humorous clips showing you, again, that they are a propaganda. Secondly, I had some wonderful, sources who got me these internal memos that Fox News uses. Now, this is a news organization. They send memos out to their reporters, editors, and producers telling them how to follow a specific political party line.
And if you could just hold for one second, Robert, because we have a wonderful clip that from OutFox that I want the audience to listen to underscore the point that you're making right now.
We'd receive orders, for example, to adulterate the news with pieces from the show A Current Affair, which was a tabloid TV show, often something with a political agenda associated with it. A Current Affair, for example, had an agenda to try to promote Clarence Thomas when he was nominated to the Supreme Court. And so we had to carry pieces of that show with a sort of pro-Clarence Thomas spin, an anti-Anita Hill spin also, if you would. And we found out that in New York, they were also making even further edits in their newscast to try to make it even more blatant that they were trying to promote Clarence Thomas's appointment to the Supreme Court. We received orders, for example, to attack Ted Kennedy, who was a longtime opponent of Rupert Murdoch. And one celebrated occasion, we were ordered to run a long, uncut piece from A Current Affair that was rehashing the whole matter of Chappaquiddick and Mary Jo Kopechne, going back to the 1960s, I believe. This had literally no news value whatsoever. It was something that was commissioned by the Australian Mafia. It was actually reported on by a guy named Steve Dunleavy, who was one of Murdoch's buddies, an Australian. It showed on A Current Affair. It had zero news value. We were told you had to run this thing uncut. You could not even edit it down and just run a snippet of it. This is the kind of thing that started creeping into the newscast, where we started not only changing the style of the news to a more sensational kind of approach, but also interjecting this kind of right-wing, anti-democratic, pro-Republican propaganda.
And that was a clip from a former Fox producer, Frank O'Donnell.
Yes, exactly. That was the third category of sort of objective proof. As I say, the first was the clips, the second were the internal memos that I got, and the third were a series of former Fox employees who came forward and speak on camera about management telling them what and how to respond politically.
And one of those memos, talk to us about some of the specific memos that came out and told people what to do. Because we have directions coming from a number of different places. We had the memos coming down. We had higher ups in the stations telling people what to do. And in some cases, Rupert Murdoch even calling and saying, I want this story run.
Yeah, again, you know, nothing's shocking if you forget that it's a news organization. But if you think of this as the goal, you know, particularly in a democracy, look, as one of the experts in the film says, in a totalitarian society, people know enough to ignore the news or they read between the lines. But in our world and in a democracy, that's how you make your decisions. You make decisions on who you want leading the country and what kind of a country we're going to have based on our news sources. So if one of the so-called news sources is really an opinion station, and I have nothing wrong with opinion, you know, I listen to all kinds of opinion shows, I read editorials, but they're marked as opinion. Air America doesn't pretend to be a news show. It says it's a radio show with opinion. But here we have these so-called news organizations where from Murdoch to Roger Ailes to John Moody at the highest levels, it's made very clear to all the employees from day one, there's a very specific agenda. If you turn on Fox News, it's almost impossible to find something of any substance where they ever disagree with the Bush administration.
And when you flip the script and you think about what they did when Bill Clinton was in office, whether you support or whether you like or whether you dislike Bill Clinton, they frame themselves in terms of we're going to expose the truth, we're going to attack, we're going to make certain that we get to the bottom of all of these stories. Now these are basically lapdogs.
Exactly. I mean, that's really what they do. They yell, they scream, but they support the Republican line, you know, over and over and over again. And it is troubling, but as I say, if you go to our website, outfox.org, you can both order the film, and there's a list of organizations you can get involved with. Literally, you have a half hour a week to make a couple of phone calls or write a letter. You can begin to change this and begin to make a difference, which is what I really see the film is doing. First, it brings a spotlight of attention onto this, and then it says, okay, now we know what's going on. Now we've got to get out there and change.
And I think it really kind of takes a while for it to resonate with people. And I would use as an example what Barbara Boxer did at the Condoleezza Rice hearings. She said after watching another film, of Michael Moore's film, where the senators didn't do anything in the 2000 election, she felt guilty. And she decided that she was not going to do that anymore and that she was going to stand up this time around. And I think the same can be said of your film as well. It takes a while for it to resonate into people about how bad this is and how much people need to get involved and to make some changes.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. I couldn't agree more. In fact, I tell people, you know what, get one copy of the film and then make up as many as you want. Give them to your friends. Give them to schools. Show them at your churches. Show them at your clubs. Show them, you know, to friends. Because the goal is, this is not to make money. This is to get the word out there. And film is an incredibly powerful tool.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. And there's one particular part of your documentary that just really, to me, rams it home about what they can do to make people think a certain way and believe a certain way is the bit on turning John Kerry into the next French president.
Right. What happened is I had a whole section that the volunteers, because what I did is I said to the volunteers nine different categories, and one of the categories was anti-Kerry. I'm not exaggerating. I have 400 printed pages. From the various, because they would send me an email every time there would be a sighting with a specific time and we were taping all of this. So I have 400 anti-Kerry pages, so I'm going through it and I'm looking at clips, and I start to notice it's almost laughable, this idea that John Kerry is French. So we put together this section, and, you know, when you screen it with friends and colleagues, I mean, it's both tragic and humorous and sad all at the same time, because they make this whole case that John Kerry is really French. Like, A, that's believable on any shape or form, and then that's a reason not to vote for him.
And then to bring on this French guy to underscore this, we have to take a break. I'm talking to Robert Greenwald, nationally known filmmaker, producer, and director of Outfox, joining us from Los Angeles, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We're broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.outfox.com.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. More with Liz and the best of the Wake Up Call coming up next. This is AM 920 WGNU. After the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Metrolink is very limited use due to inclement weather conditions. There's a single shuttle running from Forest Park through LaCleat Landing. No word on the when the rest of the opens will, or rest of the times will resume. Serious winter weather has resulted in numerous road closures, power outages, and tree limbs falling. Please allow plenty of time to use extra caution. Eastbound 70 is closed in both directions of Saline County and Columbia. Northbound 270 from 55 to Teton Ferry. There's an accident. Left lane blocked. Route 370 onto eastbound 70. Look for a disabled vehicle. Ramps closed. Westbound 70 at Zumbel. Overturned vehicle is blocking right lane. Westbound 44, look for delays going into Big Bend as an incident is cleared, but expect some delays. Eastbound 70 at Cape Springs, there's an accident. Eastbound 40 between Boone Bridge and 270, look for heavy volume. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley is slow. Then again from Graham Hanley westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley, look for slow traffic. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as into the King Bridge, expect delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. We'll take you back to more of the best of the wake-up call following these brief messages. This hour's traffic was sponsored by Napa. Napa, stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store and win a number 55 Napa remote control race car. One car will be given away at each participating Napa store. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Winter storm warning is in effect until noon. Otherwise, windy areas of light snow early this morning, along with some blowing snow and drifting snow. Additional accumulations of around 1 inch. Total snow, ice, and sleet accumulations of 1 to 4 inches are expected for today, high in the upper 20s. This evening, colder, partly cloudy, low around 10. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high only in the upper 20s. Currently, we have 22 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 26, but the wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 15. Please bundle up and try to stay warm as best you can. Give yourself plenty of time to get to work and to get to any other areas that you have to get to. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Liz Brown is out today. She will be back on Monday. So more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers. I want to invite you to 3 hours of information and talk about facts and observations that you don't hear discussed often. I assure you that this show won't be boring. Tune in to my show, UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations, and hear some good news, significant scientific and medical breakthroughs, and uncommon observations. Every Friday at midnight, only on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when wake-up call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the 3rd annual Wake-Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is out.
Hi, brother.
We were not necessarily there as journalists or broadcasters to serve
the viewers. We were there to serve headquarters. What headquarters wanted was what we would give them. That was our job security. Everything was pinned on being able to accomplish that objective. When headquarters called every morning or sent a memo every morning and said, we want to touch on the following issues, we want to cover the following stories, we want to do them in this particular way, our job and our objective then was to execute the plan the way headquarters had.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I am talking to Robert Greenwald, the filmmaker, director, producer of Outfox, joining us from Los Angeles. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you.
What we just heard was the voice of anchor John Dupree talking about what they were supposed to do, their marching orders from Fox. One of the parts of the film that I thought was really telling was the memo as it pertained to Jesse Jackson. What were they supposed to do with Jesse Jackson?
They were supposed to demonize Jesse Jackson. No matter what the context, no matter what the subject, no matter what he was saying, they were supposed to go after him. Again, this is incredibly shocking, given that they call themselves a news organization, given that they precluded the idea that they would ever have any reason to present Jesse Jackson honorably or respectfully, and given their disgusting racial record and attitude, it really is quite horrific.
And one of the things that they do to make it appear like it's news is they will offer what appear to be opposing viewpoints, a Republican and a Democrat. But one of the voices in the film talks about that, how these aren't for real. Democrats are for real liberal people.
Right. Well, they'll find the weakest, quote, liberal they can find who's not good on television. Look, there are many people who may be progressive, who may be liberals, but getting on TV and having someone scream at them is not their strength.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll, A, first of all, find those people. B, find people who may not look terrific on television. And then, if all else fails, they'll find a so-called liberal who's not really a liberal, who will be busy agreeing with them on many issues. So it pretends to be having a debate when it really isn't. We also did a study, by the way, of guests on their news show, their prime evening news show. It was 70%, and you know, this doesn't lie. This is a statistic, and they've never come back with any explanation about this. I think it's like 70-75% of the guests were Republican and conservative.
And one of the things that I think that is really, really telling about what they do and how they do is not only do they have an impact upon how people understand what's going on in the world, but they also have an impact on how other news stations do their business. And that's really that's a really, really scary part of Fox News.
Yeah, well, I think in some ways it's the most destructive, because look, the diehards who listen and watch Fox News are the people who listen and stay tuned to hate radio for hours a day. And we're probably not going to get them or change them or affect them, but what happens is with Fox yelling and screaming so far to the right, there's a tendency where it starts to pull over some of the other news organizations, where it's CNN or MSNBC. And part of our job, all of our job, the listeners to this program, is to go to outfox.org, and you'll get organizations that can work with you so that when you see something on CNN or MSNBC or to participate in trying to pressure Sinclair Broadcasting, you can write a letter. Look, sponsors are in the business to make money. Sponsors should not be supporting one-sided dialogue, and we have to let them know that. We buy as much soap and cars and everything else, but we've been too quiet and too passive too long, and I hope the film will be and continue to be a wake-up call, not just to watch the film and get upset, but to take action.
And there is a little evidence out there that the ground is changing a little bit. It's my understanding that Staples has removed its advertising from Sinclair stations because they were concerned about the right wing, the one-sidedness of what was going on with those stations.
Yes, it's absolutely true. We started some work as a result of that, Fox, they're focusing on Sinclair, which, again, is around, the different people get it. And if you go to at Fox, it can link you to the Sinclair site. And we list, you know, 10 advertisers, Staples, Walgreens, you know, others. And people write letters and say, look, I'm a consumer, and I'm not telling you to censor anybody's point of view, but I'm just saying don't advertise only one-sided news shows. That's what we're talking about. Either do it for both or pull your advertising. And we've had success, and we can continue to have success if everybody listening will take some action.
But also, I have to repeat this part of it, too. What your film does is give people a good starting point and a good place. You have to educate yourself first on this, because a lot of Americans do not understand the effort and the action that is going into making them, and the dishonesty that is going into making them see the world in a certain way.
Yes, absolutely. That this is a first step for, you know, again, people to educate themselves. And then, as I say, make up as many copies of the film as you want. You don't have to buy 10 copies. And give them out. Show them to people. Have a house party. Have people come over. It's entertaining. It's also upsetting. But it's the way that we begin change, by, just as you say, let's learn, let's educate, but let's not stop there. Then let's take steps.
Let's take a couple of calls here. Dimitri, you have a question or comment for our guest, Robert Greenwald.
Yes, I do. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Mr. Greenwald, I want to thank you for exposing these nefarious activities that are going on Fox News. My question to you is this. Have you found any evidence that the withholding of information is orchestrated across other major news channels? Thank you.
Fox News, I don't think there's what I would call an organized conspiracy. In the sense that Fox News, it's not even a conspiracy because it's so out front. They choose which stories to follow, and they choose which stories to ignore. And in the movie, you can see examples of their doing that. And you make a good point. It's as important which stories they ignore as which stories they cover. In the rest of the media, my sense, and I'm not an expert on this, my sense is that it's not their bosses telling them to do something, but they do get sucked in by the Bush administration and its changing of news, its changing of truth, and there are individual good reporters and newscasters, some very brave and terrific ones. We need to encourage them, because I think in a democracy that's most important, getting the different viewpoints out there.
And from my perspective, Robert, as a woman of African descent, it's certainly not news that the news is not reporting the truth of a particular issue or telling a full and complete story about what's going on in the world, you know, with the if it bleeds, it leads type of worldview, or putting a black face to crime or putting a brown face to crime. That's not new for the news, but what we have going on here is decidedly worse, and it is worse.
Yes, I think it is, because it has a specific political, well, I don't know if it's worse, because, you know, racism is racism, but this one has an overall political agenda, and it's very clear about trying to achieve that political agenda. And as you said before, it's really an important part. If we don't speak up, if we don't write letters, if we don't call when we see stuff we don't like, then it's going to get worse. But the good news is, in a commercial system in which advertisers are there to make money, we can have an effect by not being quiet.
And one of the things that your film does at the end is it gives voices and faces to people that have challenged this and have had some success. There's a young woman at the end of the film that talks from Oakland, I believe it is, that talks about confronting and saying that she believes that they're probably the first people to make a Fox Network change their behavior.
Yes, there's a very smart and terrific young African-American woman who's gotten out there, who's organized in her community, and who's made a difference. And again, I think, to me, the exciting part of it and the positive part of it is that because media is affected by people, we can really make a difference by raising our voices. And the other side has done it for 20 years. It's going to take us a while to catch up. But
yeah,
we're going to get there, because, you know, media is such a crucial part of people making decisions about the direction of our country and our leadership. So, you know, it's ironic. My whole life has been spent making films. films. I've made 55 movies and stuff before I started doing documentaries. But it was doing these documentaries that I really realized the importance of the media. And I feel kind of silly, but now I'm trying to rectify that.
And before we take a quick break here, the Internet has served to almost be kind of an equalizer in this battle to bring truth to the media.
Yes, the Internet is terrific. It's on our side. You know, it's there still is a bit of a digital divide from an economic and a gender point of view and a racial point of view, but it's closing very quickly, and it's a tool that's not controlled by the large corporations. So, look, I could barely work my email a year ago, and now, you know, I'm an addict. I have carpal tunnel syndrome because I'm on so much.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Robert Greenwald. He's the filmmaker, producer, director of Outfox, joining us from Los Angeles, California. This is Liz Brown, Mondays at 9. I see all of you on the line. I know you all have questions.
Stick around for more of the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Sil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Sil.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Sil.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Guatemala City. Guatemalan officials are worried the U.S. will suspend adoptions from the country if they don't implement an international treaty against child trafficking. U.S. leaders plan to implement the Hague Convention on Inter-Country Adoptions next year. That would toughen standards to prevent fraud and the selling of children. The treaty would prevent people in the U.S. from adopting from any non-compliant countries. Guatemala ranks third as the most popular source for foreign adoptions. While the treaty was ratified back in 2002, Guatemalan officials haven't put forth any of the requirements. Guatemalan adoptions bring in millions of dollars each year to the country. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is out today due to the inclement weather. Stick around for more of the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
You don't understand my words, but never explain. So I am hoping that time will.
Fox has done what CNN still can't, and that's find a distinctive profile. And I think what's interesting about Fox is not so much what it's doing, but whom it's influencing. It's influencing its competitors. That's why, MSNBC hired Joe Scarborough. That's why CNN in recent weeks has taken to reporting pretty much anything the Bush White House tells it to report. Maybe that's why Peter Jennings all of a sudden decided last year to take out U.S. citizenship. There is a sense now that there is money in the flag. And Fox knows that, and its competitors know that Fox is on to something.
A closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. I am talking to Robert Greenwald. Robert Greenwald, welcome back.
Thank you.
Can we get to a couple of our callers here? We have a car phone. Yes, you have a question or comment for our guest.
Yes, Mr. Greenwald. I think it was last week, Michael said we spent about an entire hour of the show tirade against you. Some of the nicer comments he said about you, a communist and a traitor. Give me comments on what Michael Savage said.
Who said that?
Michael Savage.
Oh, well. Michael who? Look, part of the problem with these guys on the right is they won't engage in the debate about the issues, but it's like kids in school. They prefer to call names. I believe that the most effective way you love and serve your country is when the politicians are wrong, you bring up the issues. When there are things you don't believe are right, that's what it means in a democracy. And for these far-right radical lunatics to call names, here, of course, I'm doing it, to me is just silly.
Do you have a question or comment for our guest, Robert Greenwald?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to Charlie Rose not long ago, and he had... I think I tuned in a little bit late, but I think it was Ted Turner he was interviewing, the guy who also has, he has stations on cable, and was married to Jane Fonda, and he was speaking specifically about Rupert Murdoch for a little while, and I'm not really familiar with Rupert Murdoch, but what this man said was, it was interesting, kind of a little bit scary. He was talking about how Rupert, the way he described it, to me it sounded like he really felt like Rupert was trying to, as much as he could, the way he operates, try to take over as many countries as he could. And then that he said that this man, the man who was speaking with Charlie Rose, I'm sure it was Ted Turner, but I didn't hear the beginning of the show. He said that he even went to Tony Blair of England, and he said something to him about the way Rupert operates and hoping that maybe he would help him to, be deterred a little bit or to stop.
Okay.
What he's doing. And he said, Tony Blair actually told him, I can't do anything about Rupert. Why? He got me in this position.
Thank you for your observation. And Rupert Murdoch is not someone to be trifled with. He has a great deal of influence.
Yes, he does. And in fact, the 10 or 11 people from Fox News who are in the movie were very concerned about coming forward and speaking out because of that. By the way, many of them, are available if you wanted to have them on a subsequent show, and they're quite fascinating because they'll tell you from the inside what it's like to work there and how they're being given specific instructions by the folks who work for Murdoch on what they should do and how they should portray the news. And they're quite brave for coming forward and taking him on.
He's no one to be trifled with.
No, but as with all bullies, you come forward, you speak out, and suddenly, their hold is broken.
One of the things that I wanted to add, there are two things that I wanted to ask you about the making of this film. What was it like to talk to Walter Cronkite? What does he think about the state of the media since he's no longer part of it?
Well, it was a great honor that he participated. I actually was not there physically. I was on the phone with him because they had a very limited budget and I couldn't fly around, but... the fact that he was felt so strongly that he would say some of these things, to me, indicates how far we've come. It reminds me, I've done another film about the reasons we were given for the war called Uncovered, and the people who came forward were all CIA people. Mm. And I make this analogy. If the CIA is worried, I'm really worried. If Walter Cronkite is worried, then I really need to do something. And again, to me, over and over again, this is a way of saying, hey, look in the mirror. What are you going to do, Robert Greenwald? What are you going to do to make the change? What are you going to do to protect your country?
And as a lawyer, I can't help but ask this. How did you get this film made legally? How did you do this?
Well, it's a complicated, somewhat complicated issue, but the short version is there exists, fortunately in our democracy, called something called fair use, which means if the only way to tell the story is to use certain clips, then you have a legal right to do that. And I had a brilliant team of volunteer pro bono lawyers who run by Lawrence Lessig, who's made his argument before the Supreme Court on some of these issues, advising and guiding so that if Fox had sued, which they didn't do, we were well prepared to go to the Supreme Court.
And you didn't ask them before you made the movie.
Oh, no. They would have shut me down. They could have shut me down. You know, they could have got injunctions and things.
Well, Robert Greenwald, thank you so much for joining us. And again, give people your website and where they can get a copy of the film.
The website is outfox.org. You could get the Outfox movie there. You can get the movie about the war. We have a new one about civil liberties come out called Unconstitutional. So go there. It's an interesting site. You can get educated. You can get involved with groups. It's outfoxed.org.
Robert Greenwald, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Stick around for more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll bring you what we can. Liz Brown is not going to be in today due to the inclement weather. And up next is ABC News, local news, and your traffic and your weather, and then more of the best of the Wake Up Call. This is AM 920 WGNU.
AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Poverty, disease, and war itself.
Greenwald
that many are denied equal treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
All at once, that's what they're waking up to in parts of the Midwestern Plain States today. A major winter storm causing all kinds of problems. More from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
The sounds of a winter storm, icy, slippery roads. The sounds of a winter storm on the phone.
United Flight 922 has been canceled. United Flight 642 has been canceled. United Flight...
Hundreds of flights in and out of Chicago are canceled. 2.5 million customers across Illinois and Missouri are without power. The storm system is moving in on what had been balmy temperatures, creating yet another most unusual sound. Snowstorm thunder in Chicago. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
It was warm enough for shorts and shirt sleeves on the East Coast this morning. The mercury is expected to hit 72 degrees today in New York City. Makes walking around the Big Apple pretty nice.
It's amazingly warm. I mean, it seems like it's Indian summer.
High today in Washington, 67 degrees. President Bush will make any decisions about U.S. troops in Iraq in a matter of weeks, not months. National Security Advisor Hadley says the Iraq Study Group's recommendations will be taken into consideration, as will an in-house report on Iraq. This is World AIDS Day. How far have we come?
The message on this World AIDS Day: mobilize like never before. While some countries have made great strides in fighting HIV/AIDS, in others the disease is spreading like wildfire. Actors, actresses, and other big names are putting their star power behind the global campaign. Among them, African-born model Iman.
In Africa, when you are affected with AIDS, is a death sentence. That's the end of that.
But with no silver bullet on the horizon, public health experts say prevention remains key to controlling the pandemic. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid say they're trying to better protect patient privacy. Sensitive information about hundreds of customers was found in trash bins near the drugstores around the country. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm shopping for gifts at the Home Depot. Number three, power tools will make my son-in-law a better man. Number two, my wife will jump for joy over a new wine fridge. And number one, I don't have to pay for any of it for a long time.
The Home Depot has gifts for everyone on your list. And right now, get special deferred financing with your Home Depot consumer credit card on purchases store-wide. Happy holidays from the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 12/6 in U.S. homes.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed. On it. Use as directed.
Have you tried to read a food label lately? The FDA is trying to make it less of a challenge. Here's ABC Stephen Portnoy.
Low in fat, low in carbs, healthy choices, balanced nutrition. How can you tell what's really good for you? Michael Jacobson is the executive director of the group best known as the Food Police.
We want to see the government come out with some symbols that companies could put on the fronts of packages that would indicate that the food is healthy, mediocre, or lousy.
But should that be the government's role? Jacobson says the standards would be set by scientists by consensus. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
She has about 100 TV shows, a magazine. It seems Rachel Ray is just about everywhere, doesn't it? Well, now she is going to go where no chef, or at least only a very few of them, have gone before, into space. The woman who trademarked her 7-minute meals has come up with some tasty treats for the space shuttle astronauts. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, thousands of students in the St. Louis area will get the day off school. Classes are canceled because of the weather in numerous area districts, including the St. Louis Public Schools, Parkway, Rockwood, Hazelwood, Pattonville, Riverview Gardens, Lindbergh, Francis Howell, and Fort Zumwalt. Several area colleges and universities are also closed today. The St. Louis chapter of the American Red Cross is reminding people to be careful in the aftermath of the winter storm. Nicole Holtgraf, a spokesperson for the Red Cross, says if you have to go out today, just be careful.
And make sure that you take care of children if they're going outside to play in the snow, or check on neighbors and make sure that they have all the supplies that they need, especially if they're not able to get out.
Holtgraf says if you have to drive today, make sure your car has working windshield wipers and plenty of gas and that your battery is in working order. Authorities aren't sure what caused the death of an 18-year-old woman near Belleville. The victim, identified by the Belleville News Democrat as Amy Brock, was found dead in her apartment on Bradford Place Wednesday evening. Investigators say there are no obvious signs of trauma, but the cause of her death isn't known. Finally this hour, the Blues fell at home 5-4 to the Nashville Predators in one of their toughest losses this year. The Predators had only 17 shots on goal in the game, and Blues goalie Manny Legacy was pulled in the third period in favor of Curtis Sanford after allowing his fifth goal of the game. The Note received two goals from Bill Guerin, as well as tallies from Keith Tkachuk and Jay McClement. St. Louis is now 4-7-2 on home ice this year. They head to Chicago tomorrow to take on the Blackhawks in a 7:30 faceoff. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sears Auto Center. Give yourself the gift of tires. Right now, get the lowest price of the year on Michelin tires only at Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sales end 12/24/06. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Robitussin. Metrolink is on a very limited use due to inclement weather. There's only a single shuttle running from Forest Park Parkway through East Riverfront Station. There's no word on the estimated reopening of the rest of the time. Serious winter weather has resulted in numerous road closures, power outages, and fallen tree limbs. Please allow plenty of time and use extra caution on roadways. 70 is closed in both directions of Saline County and Columbia. That's way out west. Eastbound 94, a disabled vehicle has been cleared from the roadway. Expect delays. Westbound 70 at Zumbel, there's an accident. Three left lanes are closed. Westbound 40 between Timberlake Manor, look for an accident. It's been cleared. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs, there's an accident. Southbound 55 at 7th, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. Southbound 55 at Arsenal, there's an accident. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge expect major delays. All your major thoroughfares, you can expect delays due to the inclement weather. And that is basically a look at this hour's traffic. Just slow down, use caution, and give yourself plenty of time. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for coughs, colds, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's a Robitussin relief with your name on it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. A winter storm warning is in effect until noon today. Otherwise, windy areas of light snow this morning, along with some blowing, drifting snow. Additional accumulations of about an inch, totaling snow accumulations and ice and sleet accumulations of anywhere from 1 to 4 inches. The highs in the upper 20s today. For this evening, cloudy, colder, and a low around 10 for Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s, and Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 22 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 22 as well. Wind chill outside makes it feel like it's 7. Bundle up, stay warm. Liz Brown is not in today due to the inclement weather. Instead, we have another best of installment right here at AM 920 WGNU. Stick around. We'll give you more traffic and weather details at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Brother, talk to me.
over to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made.
Families in trouble, more and more people.
It's just the best of the world to call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, you can email me at Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. That's Liz Brown at sbcglobal.net. Also, don't forget we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about today. And this morning, we are going to be talking a little bit about television. We're going to be talking about, in particular, network evening news. I was intrigued by a story that came out not too long ago about the coverage of the presidential inauguration. One of the criticisms that we hear often is that the networks are really liberal, that the news that we hear and we see is a result of the liberal media. And one particular story that came out talked about how when we looked at the actual reporting and reporters of the inauguration, the overwhelming majority of reporters on Fox News, on CNN News, reporting on the inauguration were either staunch Republicans or clearly articulating conservatives. And those on the other side of the aisle were either paneled up with someone, or they were conservative Democrats. The media does not reflect what the world is, and it certainly is not, cannot be said to be liberal. we need to talk today about another way of looking at the media, another way to assess the media, aside from throwing out the word that it is or isn't something. You have to kind of study it. So to help us study and find the numbers of what is going on in the media as it pertains to Latinos, I have Joseph Torres, Deputy Director of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, joining us from Washington, D.C. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Joseph, talk to us about this report, the ninth annual Network Brownout Report. What is this?
Well, I am my organization, I'm the Deputy Director for the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. And each year, our association puts out a report that examines the portrayal of Latinos on the evening newscast of CNN, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And we've been doing it for 9 years now. And what we do is that we examine how many stories about Latinos aired during the course of a year. And then what was the portrayal? We actually watched the stories, and we try to track how the networks actually portrayed the coverage. So, for instance, last year there were 16,000 stories that aired on the evening news for those four networks. 16,000 combined.
Okay.
Stories about Latinos made up less than 1% of all stories that aired on the network evening news.
And a total
of 131 stories.
131 stories mm-hmm. total out of 16,000.
Right.
And how were those 100? And what were those 131 stories about?
Well, there's trends each year that continue, and this year the trend continued that immigration and crime were the two top topics, made up close to about 44% of the coverage. Of all of the 131 stories, 44% fell in those two categories.
Immigration and crime.
And crime. And so it just shows how when we are covered, we're covered in a very narrow, very narrow perspective on what stories constitute stories about Latinos. So we're not in,
Joseph, it's not just narrow, it's also negative.
Well, that's interesting. They tend to, a lot of them tend to be negative. In previous years, that was definitely the case. We had stories about Jose Padilla, the dirty bomber, who's, the accused dirty bomber. This year, it was a little different, and I gotta admit, it was a little different. The stories on immigration tend to focus on the Latino non-citizen who was a legal immigrant in this country but was serving in the military and died in Iraq. And they were portrayed as heroic. And coyotes, smugglers, smuggling illegal immigrants into the country, and the immigrants died because they were abandoned in the desert. So they were victims. In previous years, there were stories about Latinos tend to show Latinos as perpetrators of crime or illegal immigrants who may cause harm to your well-being or your way of life. So it did change a little bit this year.
I don't know, but Joseph, is that it changed? No,
mm-hmm.
no question that it is a change. But in terms of putting out a message about the community of Latino people to mostly portray Latino mm-hmm. people as being illegal immigrants, whether they are war heroes or whether they are victims of a crime, mm-hmm. that's still not good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, we've been following this for 9 years. It's definitely a very narrow perspective, a worldview on who Latinos are. That is not good because it shows that we're not participating in the full spectrum of life. You know?
And the word illegal precedes every story that's described.
It is because, the majority of Latinos were born in the United States. They were born here. The U.S. citizens born in this country. So, yes, I agree. I definitely agree with you. I mean, I'm trying to be a little fair here because in previous years we definitely we are tough on the networks. We're tough each year, but in watching but the point is 131 stories. This ain't even story about Latino was actually positive, and it was about immigration because there are a lot of Latino immigrants, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Still, 131 stories. That's less. That's about two stories out of 350 stories each week. That's about two stories a week. So you basically...
Is that many, two stories a week?
About two stories a week. And that's... But, these stories average only like a minute and a half. So the thing is, you're hard-pressed to actually see a story about it on the evening newscast.
So let's back up a little bit. Okay,
mm-hmm.
we have these 131 stories.
Mm-hmm.
They are different stories than have been told in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The time that these stories have is, what's the average time for the story, the 131 stories?
The average time is a little less than 2 minutes, like a minute and 50 seconds.
A minute and 50 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of a story, your report says that 43% of the stories did not cite a single source. What does that mean, and why is that significant?
See, that's important, and that's something we did differently this year. We're trying to get more detail on how a story is constructed, and the fact is that these stories tend to be less comprehensive. That means they interview less people. There was less diversity of perspective in the news stories. These stories were shorter, did not interview that many people. A lot of these stories did not contain an interview with a single person, let alone a Latino. So it shows that these stories did not have they were not more in-depth in their coverage in trying to examine Latinos.
The story is still from the perspective of someone on the outside peering in
mm-hmm.
to the Latino community as opposed to a single Latino speaking within that story.
Right.
And what is the significance of not having a single source? What is the significance of that statistic?
Not having a single source, the significance is if you're a reporter covering a story, you should actually talk to people. You should actually quote people in your story. And if you cover the story about African American Latinos, it'd be good to actually talk to them, and get their perspective into a story. So the fact that 43% of these stories did not even cite have a single source, that means they didn't contain any interviews. And it just shows you the lack of depth of coverage, the lack of the stories were not very complex.
So there's two hits on the stories, or three hits actually, mm-hmm. 2 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single reporter went out to talk to any of these stories, talk to anybody in 43% of the stories.
Right.
Nobody went out to talk to a single person in the story. And then there's another hit that they didn't interview on camera. Because lots of stories, you go out and you talk to people, but mm-hmm. your face may not get on
that's
the
right.
news, but they've at least talked to somebody. So we've either not talked to them mm-hmm. and or we have not interviewed a person.
That's right.
And what is the cumulative weight of that, of a 2 minute or less story, 43% not having a single source, 58% not featuring an interview, and most of the stories, the overwhelming amount of the stories deal with from an illegal immigrant perspective. What's the cumulative weight of that?
Well, the cumulative weight is that the average viewer who knows nothing, who knows very little about the Latino community, they're not really being informed. They're not really being informed about the totality of Latino life in the United States, and it's not even really scratching the surface. Like I said, only 131 stories, not a lot, and added all the other things you just mentioned, it shows that even though Hispanics make about 40 million people live in the United States, Latino, a growing, surging population that's changing communities across the country. And people, they need to be better informed about the growth of the Hispanic community and how its impact on society. Very little is coming across on network television.
I can say, Joseph, that although I haven't studied it as your organization, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, has, I can say that on looking at the news politically,
mm-hmm.
that it feels as if there have been more political stories told about the Latino community in this past year, that when we talk about politics in the Latino community, stories have come out about the strength of the pursuing the Latino vote, upcoming face, the face of the United States has changed because it's now going to be the Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
The Latino community is now the second or the largest community. African Americans are no longer the largest community. I've heard political stories. It seems as if I have heard more stories like that. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. There were a lot of political stories last year. I'll try to find that number, but that's true. One was because it was the upcoming election.
Okay.
Another reason was the whole California recall election, and with Governor Schwarzenegger and the Lieutenant Governor who ran of the state who actually ran for governor was a Mexican American,
mm-hmm.
and so there was definitely a lot of stories about the impact of the vote, Latino vote, in that recall election. But there was also about the growing political clout when it comes to Latino voters in just electoral politics, period.
Now, when those stories were told, Joseph, the mm-hmm. stories about the growing influence of the Latino vote, when those stories were told, were they sourced? Were Latinos interviewed? Or again, was it told from the perspective of a very few interviews and no sourcing?
When it came to policy, we didn't break it down that thoroughly by each subject, each topic. But I watched all the tapes, and for politics, they tend to be more sourced, and they were, it would tend to be more sourced. Trying to figure out, it was almost like an introduction to Latinos 101. These are these are Latinos, their growing population. It was it's really a story we've been seeing for about 10 years already. You know, they grow on political clout. They are up for grabs, whatever, the same messages about political clout, growing political clout. And they didn't really get in depth about the complexity of the Latino vote, how it changes. I mean, we're not a monolithic group, you know. The Latino vote in Texas is different than the Latino vote in California. The Latino vote in New York is different than the Latino vote in Florida. So, they didn't get into the complexities of the Latino vote.
Well, given the fact that this was an election year,
mm-hmm.
given the fact that there was a presidential race that was going on, including all kinds of senatorial and congressional seats, and given the fact that both political candidates were running on the war in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Is there any coincidence that we saw stories about, positive stories about Latinos in the military? Doesn't that help one political party to do that? I guess the story will be is if in the year 2005 we see the same amounts of story, because the networks that you evaluated this on were which networks?
NBC, CBS, ABC, and CNN.
Okay, so I guess it will be interesting to see what happens next year in a non-political year, how Latinos, if there are as many stories told of Latino soldiers.
You know, this is just a guess. You know, one thing that did happen was a lot of newspapers, particularly LA Times and a few others, really covered it is funny, it's different between newspapers and television. They
yes.
covered these immigrants who went into the military, and I think television, you know, like so many times, television reporters get their news from reading the newspapers.
Sure.
I think the same thing happened. I think newspapers really drove this story in a lot of ways. Particularly, there's one story about Lance Corporal Jose Gutierrez. I mean, the way it was portrayed on television is much different than reading in the paper. He was portrayed as a hero on television. In the papers, it was a very tragic story. I mean, this person came to the country. They came here legally. Their parents died when it was on Honduras. They came here. They got picked up by the INS. And this Lance Corporal Gutierrez actually lied about his age so he could stay in the United States. Got into foster care. Went into the military because that was the only option he saw in his life, and he was one of the first casualties of the war as a result of friendly fire. Very tragic story.
Mm.
TV didn't get into all of the details. He just portrayed him as a hero going coming home and his friends and all that burying him. But
and again, that gets back to my observation about mm-hmm. about the intent of television in terms of why they told that story at that time. And it'll be interesting again to see after the election if television, because television doesn't always follow the lead of newspapers. It will be interesting to see if they continue to tell stories like that, won't it?
And I agree. And the thing is, this was 2003 we looked at.
Okay.
So 2003, the war didn't turn.
Okay.
In 2004, I mean, there's a lot more skepticism about how this war is going with at least as of now with the media. They didn't weren't as skeptical beforehand. okay. in, before we went to war, you know?
All right. So, and we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Joseph Torres, Deputy Director, National Association of Hispanic Journalists. We're talking about a report by his organization, we will be back. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call, 454-0400. That is the Brown Out Report. And if you want to email me, you can do that at lizbrown, L-I-Z-Z-B-R-O-W-N, at sbcglobal.net. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920. WTNU. Stick around. We'll give you the best of the traffic and the weather coming up next, and then more of the best of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Preparation H. McLeod Station and Manchester, the traffic lights are not working in both directions. Natural Bridge between McKelvey and Fifi is closed due to inclement weather. Fifi is closed between St. Charles Rock Road and Blake due to inclement weather. Jennings Station Road at 170 or at 70, those lights are not working. Northbound Telegraph at Yeager, traffic lights are not working. There's a number of traffic lights that are not working and a number of power outages as well as traffic tie-ups due to inclement weather. Westbound 70 between 94 and Zumbo, there's multiple accidents. Two right lanes are closed as the roadway is reportedly to be a sheet of ice. Avoid the area. Eastbound or 70 is closed in both directions of Saline County and Columbia. Southbound 55 at Arsenal, look for left lane blocked. Westbound 40 at Mason, there's an accident. Right lane's blocked. Right westbound Page at the upper bottom road, there's an accident reported. In fact, there's just a number of accidents. You just need to slow down and use caution. Serious winter weather has resulted in numerous road closures, power outages, and fallen tree limbs. Allow yourself plenty of time and give yourself extra caution on the roadways. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge and into downtown, you can expect delays at this hour. Metrolink is on a very limited use due to inclement weather today. The single shuttle is running from Forest Park Parkway all the way to the East Riverfront Station. There is no estimated time on the reopening of the regular schedule. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. A winter storm advisory is in effect and warning is in effect until noon today. Otherwise, you can expect windy areas of light snow this morning along with blowing snow and additional drifting snow. Look for accumulations of about an inch with a total snow, ice, and sleet accumulation of 1 to 4 inches. The high will be in the upper 20s this evening. Colder, partly cloudy, low around 10. For Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. Currently we have 22 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 23. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 8. If you're going anywhere, bundle up and stay warm. Take your time and just enjoy the winter weather. Coming up next, we got more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is not in today. Instead, we bring you more of the best of the wake-up call. Stick around for the news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 9 o'clock hour.
You say, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me. For that I'll love you forever. A promise is a promise in my eyes.
Well, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. This morning I am talking to Joseph Torres, the Deputy Director, National Association of Hispanic Journalists. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. To talk to us about a ninth annual report put out by his organization, the Brownout Report. Joseph, welcome back.
Thank you.
When we talk about the networks that you all picked to take a look at, why were those networks chosen?
Well, their news stories are the Vanderbilt University has a television news archive, and those four networks have archived their nightly newscast with Vanderbilt. This year, 2004, which we're going to be studying now, Fox News is now archived, so we'll have Fox next year to study. But we're able to search the data. It's a database. We're able to search it with key terms that to try to find the stories about Latinos. It's very searchable and great for research. So that's how we basically. Those are the four networks as of now that are archived. Fox News joined this past year. We're going to include them in the study from now on.
And in terms of the amount of viewers that the networks that your organization chose, what amount of viewers are represented in those networks?
What amount of viewers?
Yes.
The nightly newscast?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think the nightly newscast still get about 30 million viewers a week. Or a night, I think, 30 million viewers a night, they still attract combined, you know?
So that's 30 million people are watching the news every night, and these are the stories that they are
right.
watching.
Right.
When we talk about Latino reporters and anchors, how did we do in the year 2003?
Well, that's a great. I'm glad you asked that question. We don't know.
What do you mean? If we don't know?
We don't know. The reason we don't know is because the networks have never made that data public. You see, the newspapers have a history of reporting each year. They have an organization called the American Society of Newspaper Editors. And each year, newspapers, they release a study that gives the overall number of minorities working at a particular paper. So you can look at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and know how many minorities work at the paper. Radio and television stations don't do that. RTMDA puts out a study each year that gives an overall number of minorities in working at local TV stations. The networks don't participate in the study, and the networks have refused to give us this data. We've asked them through the years. We want to know. We want to be able to keep track how many people, how many journalists of color work at your networks. We should know. And they have refused. They have said that's quotas. We don't want to get into quota systems here and stuff like that. They've been really hostile to us, and there's been really a sore point between our organization and the networks. The networks, we bring this up all the time, and they refuse to give up the data. And we say, how can we measure progress? I mean, we need numbers to be able to measure whether we're making progress. And so when it comes to network news, we have no idea who works there.
Isn't there some way to measure this? Can we do a visual?
We can
do a visual, can't we?
There's been a study that through the years, Joe Foote and has done, for instance, for Latinos, it's been like 2% of the on the anchors the reporters, on-air reporters have been Latino. Some like 4 to 5% African American, 2% Asian. But the study, I think he discontinued the study like a year and a half ago. But this gets into the whole idea of serving the public interest. I mean, you know, they get all sorts of subsidies. They operate stations. They get a license to operate a public trust. And they're journalists. And journalists, we talk about the First Amendment and defending it and having open governments. What is so controversial about wanting to know how many people work at your network
that are
people of color?
What about the National Association of Hispanic Journalists joining other journalistic organizations that deal with people of color and filing a complaint every time that the network's licenses come up?
Well, the networks are not licensed. The networks are the programmers. That's the problem.
But, I mean, can't we still, in terms of that, there is a licensing process.
For stations.
So if it was a station by station type of a complaint with the FCC, is that possible?
That might not be possible anymore because there used to be equal employment opportunity regulation rules to say, hey, your station has to have an X amount. Your station needs to reflect in its employment the area it serves. Well, those laws have been striking down. The courts have struck down those laws in the late 90s. They do not have to keep or make public their employment data, the racial and ethnic makeup. It has nothing to do with their license anymore. During the Civil Rights Movement, they fought as a result of the Civil Rights Movement. The EEO rules were founded in 1968, and you could, back in the past, have your license revoked if you did not have employment. Your employees did not reflect the communities you serve. That is gone now.
And we are going to take a break. I'm talking to Joseph Torres, Deputy Director of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. And Joseph, when we come back, I'd like to talk about how did the Hispanic community, how did the Latino community fare in terms of the reporting of Latino actors and actresses, celebrity stories.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll be talking about that. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 454-0400. It's the phone number. Get to me.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. More to come following these messages.
is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when wake-up call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual wake-up call blanket drive. The blanket drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline, Washington, D.C. A report by two arms control advocacy groups says the U.S. is exaggerating China's nuclear clout, and the result could end up pitching the two into a Cold War-style arms race. It says the Defense Department and U.S. intelligence agencies are portraying Chinese weapons developments as more threatening than warranted to justify building a new generation of weapons. The report by the Federation of American Scientists and the Natural Resources Defense Council says that China in turn views U.S. arms upgrades as a reason for modernizing its arsenal. The 250-page report is based on an analysis of declassified and unclassified U.S. government documents, as well as commercial satellite images of Chinese installations. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am talking to Joseph Torres, Deputy Director, National Association of Hispanic Journalists, and we're talking about the Brownout Report, the 9th Annual Network Brownout Report. Joseph, welcome back.
Thank you.
On the way out, I asked you the question of how did Latino celebrities fare in the reporting in the year 2003?
Okay. I'll definitely give you the answer to that. And also, if I could, before we finish up, just to talk a little bit, if I could mention media policy and FCC issues.
Sure.
But great. No, what in 2003, there were about 11 stories about Latinos in entertainment, and they dealt the majority of them dealt with the death of Celia Cruz, the famous salsa singer who died in 2003, and the majority of them dealt with her death, and basically that was pretty much it for 2003. In years past, it's been Selena, the death of Selena, the Tejano singer. Jennifer Lopez has popped up a few times in past years.
And we're not talking about People Magazine, we're not talking about Life Magazine, we're talking about Network News reporting.
Network News, mm-hmm. Network News reporting, yeah. Last year was Celia Cruz and just kind of going over what she meant to the Latino community and the celebration of people celebrating her life, at a funeral ceremonies and stuff like that. So that was pretty much it when it comes to celebrities.
One of the things that I think is a fascinating story and an issue to come out of the brownout, mm-hmm. the brownout report, is the story of Shoshana Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Yes.
And why your organization looks at this differently than the story that the network has brought to us.
Shoshana Johnson, is the first African-American POW.
Right.
That's the way she was framed.
That's the way that she's come to St. Louis.
Yes.
She's spoken at St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that she is. That's how she's described.
She is. And she is. She is that, you know, and she's been Congressional Black Caucus. So. And during our research, we come to learn, the CNN and all that, the way they framed her as the first African-American POW. Well, Shoshana Johnson is Panamanian. You know, I believe her mother is Panamanian.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is that, we also had that with the Lacey Peterson trial because Lacey Peterson's last name is Rocha. So we try to find out, Rocha, and she ended up to be Portuguese. Her mother's Portuguese, but the thing is, so she's the first. And it shows you the
Wait a minute. Back up just a little bit.
Hmm?
Lacey Peterson's last name is really what?
Rocha.
Why are we calling her Lacey Peterson?
Well, I guess she's married to Scott Peterson.
Okay.
But her maiden name is Rocha.
Oh, her maiden name. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because, so we had to find out, and it turned out that she wasn't Latino. She was Portuguese.
Okay.
But anyway, with Shoshana Johnson, it shows you the complexity of the Latino community covering it. Because Shoshana Johnson is Panamanian, you know, and actually come to find out that in Panama, they actually had a big celebration for her, and she went back to Panama and stuff like that.
Wow.
But the fact that she was not covered, she's African American, but it shows you the complexity of the Latino community. You can't go by surnames, you can't go by race, because you can be of any race. You can't go by. It shows you how you have to.
Well, you can't go by what America perceives Latinos
exactly.
look like.
What looks like, because it definitely, because everyone has an image of what Latino looks like, and it's just
and it's not Jennifer Lopez.
It's not Jennifer Lopez. I mean, you don't see too many Afro Latinos on television.
Did you all study that in your report in terms of the faces that they did bring to the media, to the major news networks, portraying the Latino face? Were they typically Jennifer Lopez Latino looking, or were they the Shoshana Johnson type of?
They were more of tend to be the more of the brown immigrants, Mexican American mm-hmm. immigrants migrating to the United States. What people would consider. You know, I hate to even use that word. Yeah, he looks Latino. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's what the image they pretty much used.
What many in America, through the narrow lens mm-hmm. of how they see Latino people,
right.
the image that white America is comfortable with and are familiar with.
Or tend to think what a Latino is.
Okay.
They have an image. And, we have Cameron Diaz, who's Latino. We have Sammy Sosa. You know, it's a full spectrum. And we're an ethnic group, and within the ethnic group, we're made up of all races. And that's the complexity of covering our community.
And finally, out of the networks that you all looked at, it was CNN, CBS, NBC, and ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the best job of airing stories about Latinos?
Did the best job? You know, I would say CBS. I'm trying to refresh my memory here. I think CBS did.
And the best is reflected in the amount of stories that they.
No, I think in the type of story, they think they devoted more stories to human interest. You know, more human interest stories, and the more human interest stories tend to they got more in depth about Latino issues. And NBC followed second, I think. They did more human interest stories. They took more time in telling the story.
And then CNN was the top in terms of airing the most stories at 47
most stories. But they also aired the most stories about immigration.
And crime.
Tend to be very, and use the least amount of sources and stuff like that. So they, they were most simplistic, I think, in their coverage this year.
And I want to thank you, Joseph Torres, Deputy Director, National Association of Hispanic Journalists. Thank you for bringing us that information about your brownout report.
Great. Thanks for this.
My pleasure. Okay. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, a wake-up call. I will be back right after the news. Stay with me.
You've been listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is out today due to the inclement weather. We shall have her back here bright and early and chipper on Monday morning at 6 a.m. She also passed along something for me to let you know. The volunteer drive for the blanket drive meeting is canceled for this evening, and the international urban meeting for tomorrow is also canceled. Once again, the volunteers for the blanket drive, the meeting that was scheduled for this evening has been canceled, and the International Urban Institute meeting for tomorrow has been canceled. Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU following ABC News, our local news, weather, and traffic.
Hearing revolution in the air.
Help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us: black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvinger. A mega-sized winter storm left parts of the plains in the Midwest a snowy, icy mess today. It's not a good day to fly. ABC's Lisa Stark is at the FAA Command Center in Washington, D.C.
More than 270 flights canceled already and a four-hour ground delay there. What that means is if you were going to fly into Chicago today and your flight was leaving at 10 a.m., well, the best you'll do is to leave at 2 p.m. to get into Chicago, and even that's dicey at this point.
Driving's not much fun today either. ABC's Mike Von Frem checked things out in Dallas.
Ice has turned interstates into a nightmare, with cars spinning out of control and tractor trailers overturning. Sand trucks have been treating roads, but officials are warning drivers to still be extremely cautious because temperatures this morning are in the 20s.
That cold air is moving east, which will mean a big change from today in places like New York, Philadelphia, and Washington, where the high should reach about 70 degrees. That early release of a White House study on Iraq may have made for some tense moments for the president and the Iraqi prime minister, but now we're told that's in the past.
Did that leaked White House memo cause an awkward moment when Prime Minister Maliki shook hands with National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, who had described Maliki as ignorant or incapable? Hadley tells reporters no, he was worried about it, but he called the prime minister a class act.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. This is World AIDS Day. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan spoke at a ceremony earlier today in New York.
For far too long, the world was in denial. But over the past 10 years, attitudes have changed. The world has started to take the fight against HIV/AIDS as seriously as it deserves.
There still is no cure for it, though. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 15 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off 14. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons the Home Depot is my holiday decorating headquarters. Number three, they have everything to create an instant winter wonderland. Number two, the prices are cause for celebration. And number one, I'm in, I'm out, I'm decorating.
In one stop, the Home Depot can help turn your home into a showplace with our exclusive new Holiday Home Accents Collection. From trees to stockings and all the trimmings inside and out, it's time to get festive at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Hey, it's December 1st, and you still haven't started your holiday shopping? ABC's Sherry Preston checked out what people really want this year.
What's on the Christmas wish list this year?
MP3, DVD players, and digital cameras.
And the same goes for those wrapping the presents, says Karen Chupka with the Consumer Electronics Association.
And then on the top gift items that they're going to buy, again, it's digital cameras, cell phones, MP3 players.
Digital cameras have finally come of age, Chupka says.
I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of options now for people to, you know, have what things at different price ranges and things at different quality levels.
What people really want, though, are LCD TVs, but they're too polite to ask Santa. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You have a rabiata, you might want to get that checked out. Almost two-thirds of the respondents to a British study think a rabiata is a sexually transmitted disease. It was part of a survey for World AIDS Day. Over half of the respondents couldn't answer simple questions about how HIV is transmitted or prevented. By the way, a rabiata is a spicy pasta sauce. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Branchmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, if you have to leave home this morning, Metrolink won't be an option. Metrolink trains in the Metro East had to shut down last night because of ice on the wires, and the ice has forced the shutdown of the entire line for the morning commute. Metrobus has a snow schedule in place, and riders should expect delays. To find out if your route has changed or if Metrolink is running, call 314-231-2345. The winter storm that hit the St. Louis area is causing some concerns about how bad the rest of the winter will be. Jim Cramper, a warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service, says people shouldn't worry too much. He says there will still be a couple of wintry events, but the official outlook for the winter calls for an above-normal temperature winter. The number of meth incidents in the state of Missouri is on the decline, but the number of those addicted to the drug remains high. Catherine Hanaway, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri, says people think that taking meth will help them lose weight or get more energy.
The problem is that after you start using it for a long period of time, that energy goes away, but you're hooked on meth.
Hanaway says the law passed last year that regulates the sale of pseudoephedrine is causing a decrease in the number of meth labs in the state. She says the bad news is that the drug is now being smuggled in from Mexico. Yesterday was National Meth Awareness Day. Finally this hour, the Rams are nursing a few injuries heading into Sunday's contest with the Arizona Cardinals at the Edward Jones Dome. Defensive end Victor Adeyanju is out for the next few games after fracturing his right forearm in last Sunday's contest against the 49ers. Brandon Green is expected to start at the right defensive end spot, and defensive tackle Claude Roten could see some time there as well. Linebacker Isaiah Kazavinsky is out with a concussion. Jamal Brooks, who was re-signed this week, will replace him on special teams and as the backup middle linebacker to Will Witherspoon. Fullback Paul Smith is listed as questionable with a hamstring injury, as is guard Adam Timmerman, who is nursing sore ribs. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's instant tickets. 11 tickets, $100 million in total available cash prizes. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Branchmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and whether this hour's traffic is sponsored by ASCO. Metrolink is a very limited schedule today due to inclement weather, so as a result, you can expect some delays. It's only running single shuttles from Ford Park to East Riverfront Station. No word on the rest of the shuttle times or when they'll be available. Serious weather has caused numerous road closures, power outages, tree limbs fallen, and accidents. Give yourself plenty of time and use extra caution on the roadways. 70 is closed in both directions to Saline County and Columbia. Westbound 70 between 94 and Sunbelt. There are multiple accidents. All lanes are closed as crews try to salt the roadway so to avoid that area if at all possible. Westbound Page at the upper bottom. Look for an accident there right now.
Westbound 40 at Boone's Crossing. That accident's been cleared. Southbound 270 St. Charles Rock Road. That accident's been cleared. Northbound 55 at 141, that accident, there's right lanes blocked. Westbound 70 on the ramp to Lucas and Hunt, look for a disabled tractor trailer, and it's blocking traffic lanes, so use caution there. Southbound 270 at Dorset, the disabled vehicle. Right lanes blocked, Page at Hanley, the traffic lights are not working. Ladue is closed, Ladue Road is closed from South Warson through Dealman. South Warson at Twin Springs is closed, and North Price at Buckhammond Place is closed as well. Conway is closed between Warson and Lindbergh as well. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge as well as downtown, you can expect delays. Just use caution. Give yourself plenty of time and expect to be late. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works, the every pain reliever. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Winter storm warning is in effect until noon today. Otherwise, windy areas of snow early this morning, along with the same some blowing snow and drifting snow, additional accumulations of about an inch with a total snow, ice, and sleet accumulations of anywhere from 1 to 4 inches. The high will be in the upper 20s for this evening. Colder, partly cloudy with a low around 10. Then for Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. Currently, we have 22 degrees under cloudy skies with some snow flurries. Lambert Fields reporting 23 with the wind chill makes it feel like it's 8. If you're going anywhere, please bundle up and dress warm. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more of the best of the wake-up call as Liz Brown is not available today due to inclement weather. She was also telling me to make sure that you know that the volunteer meeting for the blanket drive for this afternoon has been canceled, as well as the International Urban Institute tomorrow morning has been canceled as well. Once again, the volunteer meeting for the blanket drive for this afternoon has been canceled, and the International Urban Institute meeting has been canceled as well. Enjoy more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do
you stand? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Here comes another best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Struggle against the common enemies of man.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net from Xenia to Zimbabwe. We are here on the World Wide Web, so check us out. Yesterday I reported that an amazing story out of Iraq, as we stumble towards this loosely defined election in Iraq. There's an amazing fact coming out of that election, and that is that there will be, as of yesterday, there were no international monitors signed up.
monitor that election, compare and contrast that to the Palestinian election. 800 monitors all over the world came to monitor that. 140 monitors went to Afghanistan. It matters mightily when no one is there to watch and to report on what is going on. This world is getting more and more dangerous, and for some reason it feels like as we get more dangerous, as things become more dangerous for all of us, it's more difficult to get the news at a time that we most desperately need it. How dangerous is it for us to get the news? This morning I am joined by Jess Julliard, the news editor for Reporters Without Borders. He is joining us from Paris, France. Jess, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I am very good. Talk to us about how dangerous is it to be a reporter in the year 2005?
Actually, it depends on the place where you stand, because it's not very dangerous if you are a journalist in the United States or in Europe, for instance, but it is if you are a journalist in Iraq or in some Asian countries, because it's true that 2004 was the very deadliest year for journalists, because 53 journalists have been killed in the world in this year.
And where were, can you tell us where the most dangerous place for a journalist?
Actually, the most dangerous one is, of course, is Iraq, because 19 journalists have been killed in 2004 in Iraq, and a dozen of them have been kidnapped by some Islamic groups, and a French journalist is still detained right now we don't know who is detaining her. So yes, Iraq is the most dangerous country for journalists. It is still, but it's very dangerous to be a journalist in Asian countries like the Philippines, for instance, because 6 journalists have been killed last year, or in Bangladesh or in Sri Lanka, because some journalists have been killed only because they denounce some corruption matters, or they try to reveal some very secret affairs, and it is still dangerous to be a journalist also in some Latin American countries like Colombia, like Peru, like Brazil. So there are different places all over the world where it's very hard and very dangerous to be a reporter.
Now, the reasons that the journalists are being killed, do they vary from country to country, or is there a similar thread that ties all of the deaths of the journalists together?
It depends. When you are in Iraq, of course, it's dangerous, because it is dangerous for everybody in Iraq, because it's a conflict zone, and you can be shot at any place, at any moment, at any time. But it's true that it's also dangerous, because more and more people think that it could be useful for them, for their policy, for their messages, to kidnap a journalist, for instance, in Iraq. And in other countries, it is dangerous for journalists who denounce some corruption or criminality, for instance, in the Philippines or in Bangladesh. It's very hard, because there are a lot of taboo topics, and you cannot reveal some corruption matters. You cannot say, for instance, that this political man is corrupted, or this political man has some secrets. So, yes, you can be targeted as a journalist for many, many reasons.
Now, in terms of gender, do we find that there are more male journalists that are being killed, more female journalists being killed, or how does that break down?
No, more male journalists have been killed. Actually, during the last 10 years, only 6% of the journalists who have been killed were female journalists. So we don't really know why. We think that, of course, there are more men than women who are on the ground, and especially in conflict zones.
No.
And in a lot of countries, like Asian countries, there are more men who are journalists and women.
Now, there, you don't have to be killed in order for your job to be dangerous. What kind of pressures and what kinds of assaults that are journalists under that don't necessarily kill them? Let's say, for example, in Iraq.
Sorry?
Let's say, for example, in Iraq, you know, there are other kinds of pressures and other kinds of dangerous situations that don't necessarily result in death.
Yes, of course. First of all, you can be injured and not dead. But you can also be arrested. And in a lot of countries, some journalists are arrested and sent to jail only because they wrote some articles or they did some reports, very critics against governments, for instance. So, yes, in 2004, for instance, more than 900 journalists were arrested in the world. You can also receive some threats, death threats sometimes, or just threats from unknown people. You can receive some phone calls, some letters asking you to stop your job, to stop being a journalist. And you can also be attacked, physically attacked. And a lot of journalists have been physically attacked in Asian countries, in Africa, or in Latin America also. So yes, you journalists face many threats. They cannot only be killed.
Now, one of the things that you said, you've stated, is that most of the reporters that have been killed have been from Iraq. My question to you is, are the journalists being killed in Iraq for what they are reporting, or are they being killed for what they represent by being over there?
No, because of what they represent as journalists. Because
that's different than what's happening in Asia, right? I mean, in Asia, that's different than what's happening in Asia. In Asia, they're being killed for what they're reporting.
Yeah, because in Asia, for instance, they were targeted. So the people who killed some journalists decided to kill this journalist and not another one. So it was very targeted, very accurate. It was a deliberate murder. In Iraq, the situation is different. Most of the journalists were killed because they were reporting in very dangerous areas, or also because they were journalists, but not because they were this or this journalist, or because they were reported about this matter or this question. Because in most cases, the people who killed some journalists don't even know what these journalists were reporting, what they were working about. So they have just been killed because they are journalists, but not precisely because of one article or one story.
Now, what's happened in Iraq, the killing of journalists simply because they're journalists, not because of what they're reporting, is this a phenomena that is different than at any other time that when we look back at what happens to journalists? Because normally, again, we're really used to journalists being killed because of what they say.
No, it's usually this situation is usually in conflict zones. In other war situations, I don't remember which one, but in African wars, for instance, in Sierra Leone 3 or 4 years ago, about 15 journalists had been killed, and they were also killed only because they were some journalists, but not because of one specific article. In some war areas, in conflict zone, I think journalists are killed because it is dangerous to be a journalist in these areas, but they are not deliberately targeted as the situation we know in Asian countries or in Latin America also.
Now, in your organization, Reporters Without Borders, what would you say is a particularly egregious death of a reporter?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
From your organization's standpoint, many you followed and you've reported upon reporters being killed all over the world. For you, what represents an example of the worst case of a reporter being killed?
Actually, in 2004, the worst case was one of Enzo Baldoni, this Italian journalist who had been executed because he was kidnapped by Islamic army in Iraq, an extremist group, and he has been executed because this group, so this is a different situation once again, but the group asked Italy to withdraw his troops, his military soldiers from Iraq, and of course they denied, and the journalist was executed by his kidnappers. So it was a very, very sad story, and just a few days later we learned that two French journalists, Christian Chenot and Georges Malbruno, had also been kidnapped by the same group, so we were very worried about them, and we feared that they could have the same sentence. But fortunately, they were detained for 4 months and then released safely. So, yes, it was very hard and very tense period for us.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I am talking to Jess Julliard, news editor for Reporters Without Borders, joining us from Paris, France. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We'll be back after this traffic break. Stay with us. 454-0400 is the phone.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is out due to the inclement weather, so stick around and enjoy more of the best of the wake-up call. And the wake-up call blanket drive volunteer meeting is canceled for this evening, as well as the International Urban Institute meeting will be canceled tomorrow. So just stick around and listen to Liz on Monday. She'll let you know all the details coming up with more of that. Coming up, we've got more of the best of the wake-up call right here at AM 920 WGNU.
Shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis.
Sponsored by Reasonable Construction. Stop putting it off.
The Contemporary Art Museum presents Lunch and Learn with Olivia Laz Gonzalez on Wednesday, December 6th from noon to 1. She'll explore the connection between contemporary women photographers and their interpretation of nature while you enjoy the lunch buffet by Wolfgang Puck. Admission is free. Call 314-655-5491 for lunch reservations or brown bag it and stay for the free public tour at 1 o'clock. Something for you from WGNU.
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again.
when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
And Liz Brown is out due to the inclement weather, as well as we'll bring you more of the best of the Wake-Up Call. She wanted me to remind you that the volunteer meeting for the blanket drive for the Wake-Up Call for this set for this evening has been canceled, and the International Urban Institute meeting for tomorrow morning has also been canceled. Once again, the volunteer meeting for the blanket drive has been canceled for this afternoon, and the International Urban Institute meeting has been canceled for tomorrow. So if you can, just stay in, listen to more of WGNU, and enjoy the nice winter weather. This is AM 920 WGNU.
Chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on the backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, picked the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions,
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am talking to Jess Julliard, the news director for Reporters Without Borders. He is joining us from Paris, France. Welcome back, Jess. When we were talking a few minutes ago, we were talking about all of the reporters that have been either killed or have faced danger in reporting in other countries. Let's talk about some of the restrictions that countries put up to prevent reporters from reporting. What are some of the more egregious regulations and rules and laws that reporters have to confront as they attempt to report in other countries?
Reporters who come from abroad, the first thing is to deny some visa. For instance, in a lot of countries all over the world, especially in Arabic world or in Asian countries like Burma, China or Vietnam, it's very hard for a foreign journalist to have a visa to go in this country and to do his job as a journalist.
Well, that's happened here in the United States, too, isn't it? Some foreign reporters have had a difficult time getting into the United States on occasion, too.
Yes, it's true. There's some journalists last year were also denied some visa for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that the situation is more and more difficult for journalists from a lot of countries, and I also know that some journalists who come from some specific countries cannot have access to the territory right now.
Here in the United States.
This is for foreign journalists, but for local journalists the situation is different. It depends on the country. In a lot of countries there are still a very official censorship, and some publications, some newspapers cannot publish some critic stories about some taboo topics like, I don't know, human rights violations, situation of the army, corruption, political matters. So there are a lot of restrictions in some countries like China, for instance. Every publication, every newspaper is controlled by the party. The Communist Party, so you cannot write whatever you want in these publications, of course.
Is it difficult to get into China to report at all? Is it difficult to get a visa as a journalist?
Yes, it is. You have to specify which story you want to write or to work about. You have to mention who you want to meet, the people you want to interview, the people you want to have some meeting with. So yes, it's very hard. The rules are very draconian. So it's very difficult for a foreign journalist to have a visa, and it is also very difficult for permanent correspondents, I mean some foreign journalists who live in China, to work, because they always have to ask for an authorization to go in this area, on this area, to investigate this topic. So yes, it's very hard to work as a journalist in China.
And also, it's not only simply the having access, it's not only the fact that some countries, the like in China, the government owns all of the newspapers, but there are also some countries that have laws on the books that make reporters liable for what they report, even if it's true. I mean, particularly when it's true.
Yes, of course, you are right. There are a lot of countries who still have very, very repressive law, and you can be sentenced to very long prison term, for instance, because you publish some false information or you publish some libels. But you are right, even if it's true information, because in this country justice is not independent. So in some other countries, let's say Burma, for instance, some journalists have been sentenced to a life sentence only because they publish some information very critical against the government and the military junta. But it was true information, of course, but the government decided that it was not, and they asked the justice to sentence these journalists to life sentence, and they did it, and journalists are still detained.
In a country like Haiti, one journalist was killed in Haiti in 2004. What were the circumstances of that death?
It was killed during a demonstration. I mean, the situation was very tense, very difficult at this time, because it was just after the leaving of the former president, Mr. Aristide, and there was some demonstration and some fights between the people who supported the former president and the rebels who want a new government. So there was some fighting in some cities, and these journalists had been killed, but we don't really know exactly who killed this journalist and who shot the bullet that killed the journalist.
Well, it is absolute chaos in Haiti today after Aristide was removed. Are journalists able to get back into Haiti to report, or are journalists going into Haiti to report on what's going on?
Yes, it's easier now. You can go freely as a journalist to Haiti now. Even us, I mean, as an organization, we went to Haiti last year to investigate and to evaluate, to assess the new situation of press freedom in this country, and the situation is much better now than it was during Aristide government. But it's true that it is still very dangerous, because there are a lot of people in Haiti who carry some guns and who can use it, so it's very dangerous. I mean, not only for journalists, but also for journalists.
Because okay, I'm reading all kinds of stories of people in prison in Haiti that are innocent, and children that are still being killed in the street. But people have access to Haiti.
Yes, we can go freely to Haiti, but it's true, it's very hard and very dangerous to work in this country, because the situation is not completely correct now. It's still very tense, and it's still a kind of chaos.
How does it compare to report or to attempt to report in America in the year 2004 as compared to, I don't know, let's say the year 1999? Is there a difference in reporting reporting stories in America?
No, I think the situation is quite the same. You mean in United States?
Yes,
or in America?
Getting to America and reporting on stories. Is it more difficult in the year 2004 than it was, let's say, 5 years ago?
No, I think it was not. I think the situation is quite stable, quite the same as it was in maybe 5 or 6 years before. There are still some problems, of course, but No, we cannot say the situation is getting worse and worse in this part of the world.
And quickly, tell us a little bit about Reporters Without Borders.
Yes, actually, we are an organization which defends press freedom, so we try to fight every day to denounce some violations of press freedom. So we issue some statements, some press communique, press release, saying that journalists have been killed or arrested or attacked or media has been censored in this or this area. And we also try to do some lobbying with local authorities, but also with international institutions like UN, like European Union, like regional organizations. And so we try to do our best to improve the situation of press freedom.
And I want to thank you very much, Jess Julliard, news editor for Reporters Without Borders. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown wanted me to make sure I mentioned that if the volunteer meeting for the Wake Up Call blanket drive is canceled for this evening and the International Urban Institute meeting is canceled for tomorrow. Stick around for more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here at AM 920 WGNU.
Holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. A car bomb explosion at a Baghdad pet market has killed 3 people and wounded at least 22 others. The popular market is a mainstay in Baghdad, where people come on Fridays to sell a variety of pets from guard dogs and birds to monkeys and snakes. Markets in the capital have been a regular target over the past 3 years for sectarian attacks. Many of the more than 200 people killed in the November 23rd attack in Sadr City were at a market. That attack was the deadliest since the beginning of the war in 2003. Some markets have decided to limit their hours of operation and have called on the government to do more to defend them against attacks. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Reasonable Construction.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate, 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
This is Sergeant Gary Wigard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio.
Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Hi, this is Liz Brown, and it's that time of year again when Wake Up Call listeners reach out and warm hearts all over St. Louis. That's right, it's the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. The Blanket Drive will take place on December 15th with a live remote at 7 a.m. at the George Washington Carver House. We'll have pickup and drop-off here at the station and at Carver House starting at 6 a.m. So you don't have a lot of time. It's been a really warm winter. Mark your calendar for Friday, December 15th, and bring your blankets. Once again, we are warming hearts all over St. Louis.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
And Liz Brown will be back live in the studio at 6 a.m. on Monday. More of the best of the Wake Up Call right here at AM 920 WGNU. Liz wanted me to remind you that the volunteer meeting for the Blanket Call Blanket Drive from the Wake Up Call volunteers has been canceled for this afternoon, as well as the International Urban Institute meeting for tomorrow. The volunteer meeting for the Blanket Drive has been canceled for this afternoon, and the International Urban Institute meeting for tomorrow has also been canceled. Enjoy more of the best of the Wake Up Call. We'll have more news and weather at the top of the hour.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. It's just amazing the world that we find ourselves in. And maybe you're not concerned about this, or maybe you're not scared about this, or maybe this doesn't touch you. But the Pentagon has created battlefield intelligence units that have for the first time been assigned to work directly with special op forces on secret counterterrorism missions. And this stuff, these are tasks that have always been the providence of the CIA. Now, these task forces are small, they're clandestine, they're drawn from specialists within the defense intelligence agencies. Now, they provide the military's elite special operation units with battlefield intelligence, and these teams have been operating in Iraq and Afghanistan for about 2 years. How's that working out for us? And what these teams represent is Donald Rumsfeld, his desire to expand the Pentagon's ability to collect human intelligence gathered by spies rather than by technological means. And the fact of the matter is if that is the case, it hasn't been working out too well for us. And it represents a huge turf battle between the CIA and the Pentagon. and it blurs the ability and the definition of both of them. And if they've been there for 2 years and violence has escalated exponentially, it's almost like it just keeps doubling in and on itself every day. If violence has escalated into such a way that they're now sane, the military is now sane, privately, we have no idea how many insurgents there are. And we're scared. Because there's no way we can beat these people with this many, this number, with an unknown number of insurgents. And just to underscore how wicked this war is and how Condoleezza Rice and others lied to get us into it, and to underscore the doubtfulness of these secret operations units being effective, coming out of the Pentagon. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz told a story that was used and echoed by so many of you out there that are defending this wicked, lawless war without end. Paul Wolfowitz told the story of Huma McMichael Hanna, an Iraqi woman who had recently come to the coalition provisional authority in Baghdad with a tale of horrific torture at the hands of the Saddam Hussein's regime. What this woman said, according to Paul Wolfowitz, was that she had been imprisoned for 2 years. She had had electrical shocks. She had been repeatedly raped. She had been sexually assaulted. And what was unusual about this woman coming forward, of course this is unusual to some people in retrospect, was her willingness to name the Iraqi officials and the Iraqi police that had participated in her torture. Wolfowitz said that her willingness to give us those names helped us root out the policemen who routinely tortured and killed prisoners. And how powerful was this testimony of Hanna? 10 days before Wolfowitz testified, her story, her words, her information, her evidence was the subject of a front page article in the Washington Post. Fast forward to after the election, as we piece through the stories and the lies that have been given to us, it turns out that Esquire magazine has said that this account that was told by this woman has all but fallen apart. The article in the Esquire concluded that none of the allegations by Hanna, including the allegations about torture, or the allegations about torture could be verified. And not only that, the law that she said that she was imprisoned under never existed. And in the original article, her in-laws were quoted as saying that her husband had been executed in the same prison where she was tortured. She said that to, or she allegedly said that to Wolfowitz. Turns out that her husband hasn't been executed either. Now, what does this story, what questions does the debunking of this story raise? Well, it certainly raises the questions about her embrace by officials at the Coalition Provisional Authority. Now, remember, summer of 2003, they were desperate to find Iraqis who would testify to some of the atrocities that the United States used as a reason to attack Iraq. Hannah's not talking now. She was talking in 2003 when this government needed an excuse to attack a sovereign nation that has never done anything to this country. She's not talking now. She's currently living in Chicago. And what has happened is the reason her story has come out is because she was so excited that somebody was going to do a book about her life. And this is where her stories became unraveled. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. It just seems like that the longer I stay on the air, the more lies come apart from this administration. Think there's a coincidence? I'll be back. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give.
You've been listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here at AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown will be back in the studio Monday at 6 a.m. So come join us for more of award-winning programming right here at AM 920 WGNU. Liz wanted me to pass along that the volunteer meeting for the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive set for this evening has been canceled, as well as the International Urban Institute meeting for tomorrow has also been canceled. Stick around for more programming right here following ABC News and our local news, as well as our weather, right here at AM 920 WGNU.
Revolution in the air.
Please do not beg folks
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that Tom Luther was being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.